Are you ready to get rowdy?
I know something stupid we can do.
What's the worst that could happen?
Live from Sacramento. Overlooking the Cap City Freeway and the picturesque parking lot of the DoubleTree. Perched atop the 93rd floor of the iHeartRadio Media Megaplex. It's the Dog and Show Show.
Ah, Shabba Lava Dig Dog at a Lickerson Win Wednesday.
Good morning, Sacramento.
Wow, Dana, score it. Yes. It is a Lickerson Win Wednesday. We'll tell you what we've got in our categories coming up. The prize today, pretty damn decent, at least from where I'm sitting. A bunch of stuff we got to talk about, and we have more Disney tickets for you, too. Again, another River Turntable battle.
Ooh.
Yesterday, okay, because you did not pick from the Styx record. Styx, back in the mix.
All right.
Okay, so what you have is Renegade Blue Collar Man from Styx.
Good tunes.
And then, only the second time for the return of this one, Toto.
Oh, yeah. What a battle.
You've got Rosanna, and you've got Africa.
Oh, man.
So.
You got it. Oh.
Here's basically what you have. You have two bands that are extremely similar.
Kind of.
As far as hits and music, Styx a little bit heavier. Styx a lot heavier. But these songs, Renegade Blue Collar Man, for when they came out, as equal as a hit as Rosanna and Toto's Africa.
Yeah.
And even though they're softer, and I know Rosanna, probably the biggest hit out of both bands, but very similar in texture and sound and MTV play and radio play, even though the Toto tune's a little lighter, the Styx a little heavier but older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But very similar bands, very similar matchup here today. This should be a good SmackDown battle.
And Toto's a little bit, you know, popular right now because of Weezer and all that stuff that happened when they did the remakes and brought them back around. And so we've been listening to those two songs in particular.
Styx couldn't be any less relevant right now. I mean, they just really couldn't be.
So we got up here, we got like down here.
Yeah, that's
funny.
Unlike Toto, people have never, ever again remembered Styx.
Yeah, there's not a fan anywhere wanting anyone to remake any of that, is
there? No, they both disappeared from the spotlight at the same time, but Toto had resurgence with the Weezer remakes. So, what is it you want to hear? Chime in with the comments. We got the Instagram and the Facebook going for the pre-show. So we've got Africa, we've got Rosanna, and then we've got Blue Collar Man and Renegade. So what do you want to hear? We'll play it for you off the River Turntable.
Can I see that Toto album? What is that on the front of that? Is that the Infinity sign?
It's like a dagger, and I don't know what those are, like four rings.
Yeah.
You know?
A dagger and rings.
Well, if you look at it, though, you know what it is, though, right?
I don't.
How many rings are there?
Four, right?
Okay.
Four.
And then you look at the dagger, and it's like a T, so it's like T-O-T-O, you know. It's, and look at the right, look
how
at right
just
there.
Notice that crap,
well, look at the
O's on Toto.
And no, but also look at, what does that say in the right hand corner?
Four.
Yes. How many rings are there?
Four.
That's their fourth album.
Okay.
It all makes sense.
It does, really,
see,
I guess.
A lot of these people, when they used to bring home these records, you know, they were really stoned. They were on peyote. They were doing shrooms. They were doing who knows what. And they would think that these album covers either had no meaning or a deeper meaning that was impossible to figure out. But when you're clear-headed and you're sober, you can look at the record and go, oh, that's Toto 4.
Which I am, but I still feel as if I'm on mushrooms, peyote, and marijuana at about 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah, it's not because you feel like you are. It's because of all you did in the past. Yeah. You always will be.
Every time I lay my body flat, it leaks back out again.
What do they say, Dana?
Yeah, Africa, Africa, Renegade, Renegade,
ooh.
Africa, Blue Collar Man.
Whoa.
Throwing out a little... definitely Africa, I would say, from Instagram.
Okay, right. From Toto.
By the way, Chris Lau on Facebook loves your shirt.
He hasn't worn that one for a while.
Yeah,
he hasn't worn it in a while.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's what I call...
Don't touch it inappropriately.
Oh, yeah, look at you.
Disgusting.
I like to go like that and go...
Oh, gross.
For those listening that can't see this, go back and watch the Facebook or Instagram video and you can see how I'm molesting my shirt.
It's despicable.
So your phone, by the way, is doing that thing where if I touch it, it goes black. So we just have to go off of Instagram.
Yeah, nothing really wants to ever work technology-wise when it comes to
Jesus.
I'm just going to say that Facebook wants to hear Africa.
All right, so is that what we're doing today? Is Africa?
Yeah.
I think we should.
All right. Oh, joy. That means tomorrow we'll bring back in Stinks.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do Africa then.
Renegade or Blue Collar Man will hit this turntable before week's end. Renegade's a good song.
Over. Where's Africa? All right, Joe. Anytime you're ready.
Okay. 93.7, The River.
Time for another exciting edition of
What's Your Deal?
What's your deal?
All right, 766-9370. Anything at all you want to discuss, you want to say, you want to share, advice you want, you need it. Hopefully you know the drill. Anything at all. Boys, girls, men, women, children, everybody. Aunts, uncles, grandparents, join in for Lick Us and Win. Or I'm sorry, What's Your Deal? Lick Us and Win's coming up later.
Yes, it is.
766-9370. I'm wondering now, and I'm hoping you and Dana can help me, if I'm officially old, and I know you both have accused me for being old for, God, basically the entire time I've known you both.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But this time, I don't know if being old is a good thing or a bad thing. That's what I'm tripped up on.
Well, I mean, getting old is never good, is it?
Well, considering the alternative, yes, I would say it is.
Well, what's the alternative? Staying young, like me?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Joe, the king of the millennials at age 43 over here.
Yeah. No, Joe, death. Death is the alternative. That's what the alternative to getting older is dying.
Gosh, you're always so positive and uplifting this early in the morning. I love it.
Well, it is true. If you're not living and getting older, you're dying. I need you and Dana, though, to tell me if this is a getting old and mature and responsible side of age, or if it's a senile and overly grumpy get off my lawn side of age. I want to find out where I stand with this thing.
That's very simple. I can answer that right now. With you, it's definitely senile.
You don't even know what it is, though, that my deal's about. You have no idea.
I know, but I know you.
Have you ever, and this is my deal, have you ever called one of those, how is my driving numbers on the back of a diesel truck before?
Good God, you didn't.
I'm not telling you if I did or if I didn't. I'm just asking if you ever have.
No, I'm only 43. I'm not 143 years old.
That's stupid.
You know I never have. Come on, man. Please tell me you haven't become that guy. Please. I mean, I've gotten used to the whiskey drinking, the golf, the cigars, all the other geriatric crap you do. But this?
Just follow me. Do you know the stickers that say, how is my driving, or am I driving courteous and cautious, and then it has the truck ID number on it with a phone number? Do you know what I'm talking about, right?
You called it. I know you did. I know you did.
You weren't with me. You have no idea what I did.
The fact that we're talking about it tells me that you did.
I didn't.
You got to be. You're lying.
Why would I lie about this? I'm not lying. I would tell you if I did.
Your pants are on fire and your nose is about to touch mine.
Our noses always touch. What's that mean? Our noses touch on a daily basis.
Don't change the subject.
Tell truth. Our noses touch.
Try it. Dana, do you think he called?
Oh, I mean, he is our resident grump. So I feel like if anybody on the show is going to call one of those numbers, it's him.
I didn't call yesterday. I really didn't. I did not call yesterday.
Okay. I bet you've done it before then. I mean, I know it.
You know nothing. And if they didn't want people to call, they wouldn't put the stickers on the trucks as billboards to have people call them.
Those stickers are on there to make the drivers that behind them feel safe. They're not on there for people to really use them and call them. I bet there aren't even people out there that have ever picked up the phone to call. Ever. Not one time. Not one listener has ever called one of those numbers on the back of one of them trucks. Them safe driving numbers. Is my driving bad numbers? Am I a courteous driver? I'd be willing to bet that not one person listening has ever, not even that one person listening, not one person has ever called those numbers.
No. Wow. Well, yesterday I really didn't call, but I will be truthful, I have, and I've called those numbers before on the backs of trucks a couple of times.
You knew are it. That guy. You. Oh, geez, that's what you've become.
Yeah.
Your credibility in this city is shot.
Oh, really, it is.
Done.
Yeah. I guess I'm the only one who cares what actually happened yesterday.
That's not important, Dana. That's not important at all in this conversation. The fact that Dog has called those buyer sticker numbers before almost anything that he did and talked about this today, and he did it yesterday before he came in here, is good enough.
You said buyer sticker. You meant bumper sticker, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm here to tell you, people have called those numbers before. I'm not the only one. I cannot be. 766-9370.
I will bet you. I don't see one phone line lighting up right now. You are not the only one.
Dana's on the phone right now. Yeah, I see her. Phones are coming in now. It takes a little bit because of the delay.
You may have proven me wrong yesterday with that ear piercing thing. Uh-huh. That more dudes have had their ears pierced than not have their ears pierced, but not on this one. Not today.
So you think nobody's ever called the bumper sticker numbers on the backs of trucks to tell people how they're driving?
Legitimately. I still question the ear piercing thing. There's no way I'm believing the bumper sticker debacle.
Hey, you can go back. We put that on social survey yesterday with the ear piercing thing. Look at all the guys that didn't have or never had earrings.
Why we talked to that was actually impressive. That blew my mind, honestly.
Yeah.
But why we talked to the people on the phone, we should post this up, too. We should find out if anyone has ever called these.
Have you ever called a safe driver bumper sticker number on the back of a truck?
I can't believe anyone would ever have done it. And if they do, they do not use their real name.
And Dana asked a very valid question. She wanted to know what happened. And I will get to what happened as soon as we go through and find out if anybody has ever called before. Because Joe says basically what they are is they're just fake. Joe almost made it sound like those bumper stickers are put on there, and there's not even someone on the other end of the phone ready to answer the phone call. You think it's just all a farce.
You think there's a live person on the other end of that number.
You think there's not.
Yeah.
Okay, 766.
I don't even think it goes anywhere.
93.7. Yeah.
The number you have called means you're an idiot.
Let's go to Rick. Rick, you ever called one of those bumper sticker How Am I Driving numbers before?
Yeah, hands-free free.
Well, first of all, yes you are, neighbor. Woo! What's up?
Yeah, I called on a Roseville City bus for cutting me off.
Did you really, Rick?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And there is someone that answers the phone, too.
Yeah, see, Joe doesn't believe it. Joe thinks it's all like some sort of Ponzi scheme.
I never even knew a Roseville City bus had a number on the back of them. I didn't know city buses had those.
Joe wouldn't.
He almost hit me, so I'll be up.
Now, I just want people to know as we go through this, so that chalk that down for one.
I've got it
hashtag that. So there's one person that's called.
That is a city bus, though. That's not a business.
It actually is. Their business is hauling kids to and from school. School is a business. It takes taxpayer money.
Oh, was it a school bus? I was thinking when he said city bus, it was like one of those where they pull over on the side of the street and pick folks up.
Well, that's a business, too.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, I mean, anything that has the sticker on it, you can call. And I want to say this. The reason that I'll get to my reason here shortly. Jot that down as one.
I got it.
Shelley, it says here, you've called, too.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
You guys, come on.
Did someone pick up the phone?
Yes, and I made a complaint. It
Atta
wasn't
girl.
A truck, but it was a medical delivery, and they were driving in a parking lot of a hospital, and they were driving around another car that was stopped for people to walk by, and they almost hit the people in the parking lot.
Good for you.
Oof.
Good for you, Shelley.
Wow.
Jot that down for two.
I did, but I got to pause on Shelley's because she did say that was a medical delivery. There could have been a hot organ in there. And they had to get it to a person who was dying on a table.
So,
I mean, that could be the case.
So you're justifying them killing other people to get an organ there to save someone else. Because that's what spawned the call.
I didn't think about that.
Because she almost hit them.
Yeah.
So it's okay if you're delivering warm organs, as you put it, to kill other people. I'm trying to follow you on this, Joe. Killing other people to get warm organs to their destination. Cool.
I'm sorry I spoke up.
Yeah. Thank you, Shelley. Tim, good morning. Have you called?
Yes, I have.
What in the world with you guys? No way.
That's hat trick right there.
That's three in a row.
Yeah, we're going golden sombrero here in a minute. There's three in a row.
What was yours for, Tim?
It was a utility company.
Really?
Okay, fair enough. What did they do? They cut you off? Were they driving stupid? What happened?
Cut me off on an off-ramp.
And what is the responses from the people on the other end of the phone? Do they take it serious? And are they like, yeah, you know what? We're going to get... That's Dan. Dan's cutting everybody off all the time.
Well...
It basically went to a switchboard operator, which related to the company, then they...
It's a very generic answer and relaying of information. They take down time. They take down location.
How do you know?
Exactly.
I've already told you I've called before. Now I'm going to be truthful. I've called a lot. I've called a lot. And what they do is, like, if it's a trucking company, it might be a direct number. But these companies now, there's companies that exist, and this is their business.
They take these calls from the people on the
yes,
road?
Yes, they don't take calls just from PG&E and school buses. What companies that have large fleets do is they call the company, and this company specializes in receiving phone calls for your employer's bad driving or those bumper stickers. That's all they do all day, and when the call comes in, they know it's from this trucking company. That's why they put numbers on there, because they have multiple accounts, multiple people. It's a big, big firm, and all they do is answer phones about bad drivers all day.
I had no idea.
So it's a legitimate business for companies that have lots of trucks, absolutely.
Could you see like one big company had the same phone number on it as another big company? Like it,
you know, I've never jived it, but if you pay attention, I guarantee, because most of them are 1-800 or you know, they have the same prefixes. I've never seen the same number because I've never thought to look and jive it up until
until you just said this. Yeah,
I know the companies exist, you know. But yeah, man, keep your eyes open, see if the numbers match.
That's unbelievable. That's three in a row right there.
Let's go to Paul. Paul says, or I'm sorry, Matthew. Matthew, welcome. What's up?
Hey, Matthew.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, this is the second time I've called, so nice to talk to you guys again. I have called not only the numbers, how you're driving, but I've also called 911.
Really?
Because I'm a truck driver. And I've seen truckers doing well over the speed limit. I'll call CHP on them.
See, you and I are kind of the opposite. When they're going way under the speed limit, that's when I call CHP on them. truck drivers driving faster than they should, that's a treat in my world. I drive up and down 99. My life is hell.
Yeah, it is. Or you claim it to be, anyway.
Yeah.
This one particular time, I called on, I can't remember the name of the company, but it was a utility truck.
Yeah.
And we were going down back into Pleasanton and Dublin area.
I don't need all that. What happened?
And this guy, I got like probably a foot away from the front of my truck, just cutting and weaving in and out of traffic. And I called the number on the company number.
Yeah.
And they said, "Well, thanks a lot. We got a GPS on him. Thank you for letting me know." It was actually the office that I called.
Yeah, back in the day, if you go back a number of years when you would call,
would go to the company.
Yeah, you would get the logistics center. You would get a woman or man working there in the office that worked for the company locally, wherever you called. But now, because so many people have so many trucks and it's such a big business, they hire, you know, outside companies to grab the phones for them.
What he said there about the GPS, I think, would be pretty much across the board. I know several people that drive trucks, and I think they're all GPS now, aren't they?
Yeah, nowadays for insurance benefits
and all that.
Yeah, they want to keep tabs. They want to make sure people aren't lying, aren't napping, or taking their, you know, right lunch breaks. And they do it for insurance breaks and all that stuff. And plus, it can monitor speed and blah, blah,
that's
blah.
That's what I was going to ask. Does it monitor speed and driving or just location?
Yeah, a lot of trucks now are putting cameras in them, too. So if there's accidents, all these things lower the insurance rates on these these large fleets. And a lot of the large fleets are also bonded. And meaning,
what does that mean?
That means they have their own insurance. After you go buy so many trucks, you'll put up so much money to insure all of them on your own. It's a bonded insurance grant rather than going through a Progressive or whatever like we do.
Really?
So there's two ways of doing it.
I'd love to learn about that one day. All that sounds interesting.
It's really not.
That means a really, really rich person owns that company, I would guess, right?
Well, it just means they have lots and lots of trucks, and typically, yeah, they do lots of business and have lots of money, and instead of paying someone else for insurance, they just bond up.
And just do it themselves.
Do it themselves.
Gotcha.
Let's go to Angie. Angie, have you ever called? You still keeping track of this?
No, I'm a first-time caller.
Well, making me look bad.
Angie,
I'm lost.
Did you say you're a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Welcome. Welcome.
Have you called on trucks?
Every morning.
Thank you.
Yes, I've called the stickers on the back of semi trucks several times. My dad was a trucker. My brother works for Oregon Road Services. So they're in danger if they're on the road. And
now, when you say Oregon Services, you mean like body organs or the state of Oregon?
The state of Oregon.
Okay.
And so he works road construction for the state, and I've called in Oregon, I've called here in California, I've gotten a hold of a few small companies, personal offices when I call, and I've gotten a hold of the big companies that just take phone calls.
Sure.
But I've also been almost ran off the road by a double trailered semi, which is why I called the first time.
Yeah.
Anything happen? Did they make you feel?
Making those calls when the truckers are driving dangerously, and them going over the speed limit is actually very dangerous because they can't keep control of those trucks like people can a car.
Yeah, I appreciate the call.
That's true.
Thank you again.
I always wonder if they actually take that into consideration and say something to the drivers. Do those drivers get pulled to the side?
Well, after I go through these, you're not even keeping track anymore.
I lost after the third call, bro. I don't even think I've had one that said no, yes yet. That no, I've never called.
I'm going to go to Paul now because Paul has never called. He claims. Paul,
well,
good morning.
We've got one.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, this is Paul from Auburn. I was at last week's Taco Tuesday. It was wonderful.
Wow,
hey, Paul. Throw that in real quick.
Right on.
Glad you made it by, Paul.
Yeah. So yeah, I have never called on one of those numbers. I've never had a reason to, and also, I mean, I'm a delivery driver for a living, and I drive locally. I don't drive anything super big. It's a transit van, and I've had people call on me a couple of times.
That's what I was going to ask. What happens to you?
I just basically get pulled into the office when I get back, and they give me a talking to try to get my side of the story. But a lot of it is about, you know, it's about the perception of the person who's actually calling in. Like, who is to say that they know that their perception of what took place was?
Yeah, it's their word against yours.
Like,
but
that.
Here's the thing: they write you up, though, don't they? Don't they catalog this and keep record of? Meaning, they reprimand you, but don't they keep a written record of how many times you're getting written up? Because if you have a bad driver and you're saying, "Well, boss, that didn't happen. This lady was crazy or something. That didn't happen." But another guy calls the next day, and another guy the next day, so on and so forth. They're going to soon find out that it's the driver.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right, Doc. They do keep track, and if you get so many. Yeah, you will get.
Yeah, it's going to bump their insurance because they're going to have to share. Don't they have to share those records?
Whether they were right or wrong, whether the driver's in the right or wrong, there's just no way to know, right?
Like, it's like your word against theirs, basically.
That's what sucks about that.
Yeah, it is. But here's why. Here's why. And so we've got one person to like 50 that have called to haven't.
Probably helps that he was a truck driver.
And he's a truck driver. Yeah. So see, he doesn't call, though. What he's doing is he's hoping if he doesn't call, people won't call on him.
Yeah.
He's got this whole weird fake karma thing going on. But here's why it's good to call, for the reasons we just mentioned. Because if you see a truck do something, who knows how many other people behind him or last week saw that same truck driver do it. So here's my point. And this isn't, here's the thing. Some people think, oh, that's ratting. No. When you got to share a roadway with a bunch of different people in different vehicles, different size vehicles, what this does is keep people honest. What this is yelping. That's what this is. What this is keeping the community honest and the drivers safe. So if you're not bitching and you're not calling the numbers, no one's going to call. But if people always call, what it does is hold the driver accountable, and it lets the company know, hey, you might have a loose cannon. There might be a loose screw in a guy that's driving recklessly. And not only could it kill someone else, cause an accident, but it could damage your goods or your delivery.
Wow.
You know, that's why it's good to call and keep a record of all these people, because if no one called, no one would know.
I mean, that is solid in that and in what you say there, but I just think of if everyone always called and complained, because who's to say what the individual did was truly callable?
And you're gonna get petty calls.
Maybe
absolutely.
You believe they cut you off, and probably they didn't.
Yeah, you're gonna have stickler picky people out there that anytime a car drives more than six car lengths in front of them and changes in lane in front of them, they're gonna call.
Yeah.
But moreover, that's going to be a once-in-a-while incident. If the guy's reckless, and he's not looking, he's not using blinkers, he's slamming brakes, he's speeding, typically drivers drive a certain way.
All the time. Yeah, that is true.
So the picky people, you might have some people that are bitching, but you'll be able to thin them out. Meaning, you will find the problem drivers within a company or a delivery service.
Pretty soon, I would imagine, Well, you know what? That is sound advice. But I just think about all the things that I have done in my life and career over the time. And
oh, you wouldn't want anyone calling on you.
Since partnered with you.
Yeah.
And we're very public in what we do for a living. And I got to think of the many, many years that we've been doing it. Not very many people have ever called to complain, thankfully.
Thankfully. So you're worried people are going to start calling our boss and complaining about you. You're thankful we don't have a bumper sticker on our, like, antenna.
Yeah. I mean, right here, going down 80, you big sticker call. If these guys do something wrong, we'd be getting calls every 5 minutes.
Heterosexual Anderson Cooper, this is Roger out of Folsom. that guy you have on with Dog, I don't even remember his name. He told another awful, awful joke today.
He's just not funny. The guy cannot get a woman. It's just sickening. He wears a robe.
He's late. He doesn't listen. Yeah, my God, the phone would ring off the hook if we had that number here.
He doesn't take a damn. damn thing about Live Sirius.
I got to share this. This is, and I've shared this with Joe before, and this was funny. And I was new to radio, and I was in one of those stupid station vehicles that had the bumper stickers all over it, you know, and it had the logo on it. It was actually a little Blazer.
Oh, was it the cop car?
No. This is well before this. We had this little Blazer, and it had all these logos on it. And we're getting on the freeway. We're getting ready to go somewhere. We're on the overpass, and we're going to make a left-hand turn. And the promotion director is driving. I'm in the passenger seat. And so this guy's trying to get over, and the guy I'm with, Todd, gives him the horn honk. And the guy yanks the steering wheel back to his lane, and he's like waving his hands, and he's yelling at us. He didn't see us. It was his fault. So the guy's making all this noise, and he's yelling at me, and I'm on the passenger side right next to him. Bing bong.
Gave him the old finger.
Gave him the finger. And I just went like that. I was like, and I motioned with my lips. I said, shut up.
Yeah.
And I flipped him off.
Typical something dog would do and not even really be that angry at you.
And I'm just, like 18 or 19.
Yeah, just like a Wednesday.
Yeah, the green arrow turns. We get on the freeway. And my boss at the time, Todd, said, what is wrong with you? Why did you do that? I said, what? I go, that guy was, he cut us off. He thought it was our fault. You know, he's like, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not even thinking. He's like, we're in a rolling billboard right
station
now.
Station vehicle, dude.
Yeah, he said people are going to call. He is going to call. He is going to complain. You're going to get me in trouble. He goes, before we get back, the boss is going to know this happened. I was like, oh, you're, shut up. Sure enough. Yeah. 2 hours later, were you guys out on the road? Did you guys flip someone off? And here's the thing. People in radio are cool. I mean, it's not like I got out with an axe and stuck it in his hood and we started fist fighting. I flipped the guy off. But is the guy going to listen? Is he not going to listen? I don't know. But we got back to the boss. He thought it was funny.
Odds are that guy probably will listen because of that thing, because he's going to be so angry at you. He's going to want to see how bad you've messed up or this station messed up
for him. Or he gets a chainsaw or a chain and he drives up to the antenna, to the transmitter, and he just pulls it down.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful out there. But I do suggest calling on those numbers. Anytime it's deserving and people screw up, you gotta highlight it and make it known, because the driver could have a history of ignorance.
Now, I typically don't, but are you gonna share the incident that occurred?
Well, you know what? We got to do these. So, yeah, I owe you that.
You should.
I mean, owe you that.
We've given a good little bit of it to this morning. I'd like to hear at least what happened.
I had no idea we'd go that long. But, yeah, I'll come back and I'll tell you what happened. And I'm here to tell you it's a non-event.
Well, it got fun this morning. I had fun with that.
Yeah.
I learned something.
And, again, can you just, at the end of this, can you say, again, for the second day in a row, dog, you were right.
I don't like how this is playing out in the mornings here.
It's Lucas Room Wednesday. 6-6-93-70. All right, we're talking about those bumper stickers on the back of trucks or any type of delivery vehicles. It says, safe and courteous driving? Please call this number. Is our driver driving carelessly? You've all seen the bumper stickers, you know, and it's got the phone number, so you can call and report a bad driver. That's what we're talking about. As we started off, Joe said, no one in the history of time has ever called one of those stickers, and I said that I have done it multiple times, and lots of people have, and I proved Joe wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only have people seen those stickers, evidently they use them multiple times a day.
And I'll share you what led to this topic in question with something that happened to me yesterday on Southbound 99. But first, we got to talk to Greg, because Greg has taken a lot of these calls from incoming upset drivers who have called the bumper sticker numbers. Greg, welcome. What's up?
Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, what's up, Greg?
So I actually am the CFO of a company called Remus Oil. That's a local Sacramento company.
Yeah, I've seen the trucks all over for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't have a number that says call specifically for driving, but call a company for any concern or for business. And we take those calls. We take them extremely seriously, because we have probably a product on our truck that's of more concern than carrying.
Yeah, not only is it you know, catastrophic if you dump it. I mean, it's hazardous, it's explosive, it's blah blah blah.
Right.
Yep. But we also have drivers that have never had an accident, never had anyone calling in 30 years. So when someone does call, it's a great help to us.
If I could just pause you for a second, that I find that to be really cool. You say that you've got drivers that have driven for you, and in 30 years of driving for you, have never had anyone call and complain about their driving. That is, that's impressive, isn't it? And all the roadway that's traveled, and all, I mean, that's a feat.
Being that people have had cell phones now coming up on 20 years, you know, longer now, 30 years. Yeah,
that's really cool. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take away from what you were saying.
Well, what was your point, Greg?
No, my point is that I think those numbers are important. People calling in are important to do. We do want to know if we have a driver who, for any reason, has any issues on the road. Mm-hmm. And we also have, you guys are talking about technology. Most companies, I think, have this today, and we have driver cameras, and we have GPS. And it's interesting, so every so often, we've gotten a call, someone has been speeding or something like that. So someone will call and say, a driver's gone 65 or 70, and it's unsafe. And we can actually look and...
Yeah, you can go back and go through the onboard, and you can verify whether or not the person who called was telling the truth or not.
That's absolutely correct. And believe it or not, 9 times out of 10, I mean, we can look at those. A driver could never drive that fast, and when we look at it, they're always driving within their speed limit. So
yeah, and you just find out that a lot of time people are pissed.
For whatever reason.
Yeah,
bad day at work.
They're blaming your drivers. I appreciate that, Greg.
Well, that was cool to hear from him.
Dave, let's do one more here. Dave, good morning. You've been on hold. What's up?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, hands free.
Yeah,
all right. Welcome, Dave.
Woo!
For both of you, one, my wife is called,
Second person
though.
This morning, never called. I'm going to take that one.
That's 2 out of 20,000.
Woo! Go ahead,
my
Dave.
My wife is called. She just moved to Auburn when we got together. She was working in Roseville, driving down the hill. It was like a plumber's van, a work van that had the number on the back. He's swerving back and forth. He's cutting people off, being a jerk.
High on that pipe dope.
Yeah, right. So she calls the number, and the van slows down, and she goes, "He's on the cell phone right now." And dude goes, "Are you the girl in the purple Civic driving right now?" And
oh, that's funny. So the number actually went to his truck and his phone.
Yes, he.
Oh, that is awesome.
His phone, or it was his cell phone number.
Oh my God!
That's funny and all, but the thing was, he started threatening her. He was swerving at her, cutting her off, slamming his brakes on her. He started chasing her. Would not let off. She hung up with him, called Highway Patrol. Highway Patrol finally caught up with them and pulled him over, both of them over. Highway Patrol said that he was cited and let him go. But after that, he repeatedly kept calling her, saying he's going to find her, he's coming after her.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
No, it was a couple days, and we went back to the Highway Patrol and told them what happened and what was going on, and they're like, "Well, what can we do? I mean, he's just calling."
Well, what do you mean, what can we do? That's threatening your life and stuff.
Yeah, and they're like, "Well, we've tried calling the number. There's nothing there. There's no answer." It was a horrific deal for her, and she just moved to the area.
Oh, like,
what
man.
What did I put myself into? But it was either forwarded to his phone, or it was his phone number.
Yeah.
And it was a scary situation for her. I mean, it was a good 20 minutes that he was following.
That's an awful story, but what a great share, because you never think about that. I mean, that's kind of like
that's a movie.
What's that with Kurt Russell and the truck driver? What's that called?
Oh, God. That
Breakdown.
Breakdown. That's kind of like that, but it's more like that movie Joyride, where they're on the CB and they're like, "Yeah, hey, trucker, and he's like, "Candy cane." Remember that?
Yeah. That is creepy.
Oh, God. He chased them through that entire state.
That would scare the bejesus out of your wife. She calls thinking she's going to turn him in and report him to the company and say he's a bad driver and he's doing all this stuff. He's the one that answers, and now he's got her phone number.
Whatever happened?
Nothing. He stopped calling after a couple days, and it just kind of went away. Now it's been years, but you know, it really freaked her out for a while. She wanted to change her number.
Because he'd be easy to find.
Had her license.
Well,
you got his number. You know what the name of his business is. I mean, you could hunt him down in no time.
That would be easy. You go to a payphone and you say that something's wrong with and here's what you do. You do it at a buddy's house.
Yeah.
You go to a non-place where you live, and you have the guy come out to fix something, and then as soon as he pulls out the monkey wrench and he gets under the sink, you just start beating him with it.
You got to have a friend like Craig in your ensemble. Call him.
Yeah.
Turn him loose on him.
I mean, what a scumbag. I appreciate the share, though.
Yeah, man. Boy, that's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, that's creepy.
And here's what I was going to ask the guy, but unfortunately he had to leave, but what kind of a psychopath that knows they're a psychopath is going to put their own phone number on their van and then be a psychopath?
Well, I think that's why, because they're a psychopath, and they want to do that. They want to screw with people. They're not in the plumbing business. They're in the terror business.
Yeah, he doesn't probably have any tools in the back.
No, he's probably got bodies, you know, and duct tape.
That's what he's doing today, just driving around, getting people all riled up.
Well, yeah, that, I mean, back to the original thing that led up to this topic with yesterday's incident with me. I mean, it's
nothing like that.
I'm driving, and what this is a pipe delivery company, okay? And it's a smaller truck. It's one of those vans, and it's something-something pipe, and I'm not going to give the business name. And this guy, at the last minute, I'm in the fast lane. He jerks over on me, okay? And he's in one of those panel vans, so he doesn't have a lot of glass, harder to see. And he yanks over on me to where I have to really hit my brakes, and I mean hard. And I even have to swerve to the left a little bit. And I see him, like, looking in the mirror. You know, I could tell that he didn't really know I was there.
He had trouble seeing where he was going.
He had trouble seeing, and the stuff in front of him slowed down. He does a knee-jerk yank to the left, and my hands are flailing. I'm like, what the F? I'm shouting. And here's what you got to do. You got to get out the cell phone and take a picture of that number.
Okay.
Okay, because a lot of people can't remember the number. If you have your cell phone and the camera handy, just snap a shot.
Plus, you're rattled, and you're you know.
You're going to forget it. So if you really want to call on someone, make sure you snap the photo. I always do that. So as I drive.
I'd love to see your photo log. I bet you got 100 of them in there.
Oh, I could show you from yesterday. Yeah. Absolutely. So I drive by the guy, and the guy's waving his hands like, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
I do that to people all the time. I cut people off by accident a lot.
And he's like, hey, he's shaking his head, doing like, poof, smoke coming, you know.
And they mean it.
And he meant it, and I was so pissed, and I had the phone in my hand, I was ready to call, and the guy made an honest mistake, and he didn't see me, but at first, the way he jerked over, I thought he was one of those, like that plumber that guy called on.
Gonna I thought be a little hard driver.
Yeah, I thought he was driving erratic and driving crazy, because 99, here's the thing, if you want to become a better person or a worse person, drive up and down north and southbound 99 from either Bakersfield to Reading or any stretch in between. Spend time on that road, because it'll make or break you as a human. If you're teetering on bad, it'll probably throw you down the slope.
It'll push you over the edge.
Yeah, it'll really, it's like, basically what it is boot camp. It's life boot camp. Drive up and down that sumbitch twice a day like I do, 5 days a week or more, and it'll really, really give you a definition of what kind of person you are, because it tests you.
Oh my God, you've lived on that area of town your entire life. I think we know what's happened to you. You've been 99'd.
Yes, yeah. A lot of people say, oh my God, you're going to get 86. Well, that's better than being 99.
Yeah, you don't want to get 99.
Woo! We got to do news, which we will, and we'll get to Lickus and Win here shortly, right after Robert Palmer. There you go. Good luck going to Disneyland. Coming up, we'll get to Lickus and Win. Let's do a little bit of news first, though. The feud between President Donald Trump and John McCain's family escalated yesterday as a top campaign advisor clashed with daughter Meghan McCain, and the president himself declared he's not a fan of the late Republican senator. This thing's been going on now for like 2 weeks.
Man, you gotta stop saying that about people that have passed away.
He says, I was never a fan of John McCain, and I never will be, Trump told reporters at the White House during the meeting with Brazil's visiting president. The comments come after Meghan McCain, who on Monday turned to the president during an emotional segment on The View and went back on the offensive on social media. The 34-year-old shared a Toronto Star cartoon on Instagram showing her late father's military medals side by side with a collection of pacifiers under the heading Donald Trump. So this whole thing's been going on and on. And
they're so crazy, these people.
Yeah, but listen to me on this. This has gotten out of hand. When McCain was alive and President Trump was basically saying stuff like, you know, I like people that aren't held captive. I like people who aren't prisoners of war. I like people who don't get caught.
That was a little much.
I thought it was kind of funny and brash. But again, McCain was still alive. But McCain is dead, and he was a great American, one of the greater Americans, when you look back through the history of time. And his family has to deal with the pain and the insults, all the while feeling the disgust because the man the comments are aimed at is dead and cannot defend himself. Trump needs to step up on this. This now has gone from not even funny, not even, this isn't even Twitter, this isn't even close to presidential, it's not even close to adult. And I've always told you, I've been a big supporter of this, I've always said you can speak ill of the dead just as you can speak ill of the living. But to do it solely out of spite, hate, ignorance, arrogance, I don't know what this is, attention-starved childness, I don't know what this is. You're only making yourself look petty. This is becoming un-American, and it's clearly not even close to presidential. Now, there's a lot of stuff that Donald Trump does that I like, and I laugh at, But let's be boys here. This isn't even anything most sane adults or even children with any dignity would do.
This doesn't even have anything to do with politics. This has got to do with being a good man.
This is stupid. Leave the family alone. If you don't like McCain, move on. He was a good American by all accounts. He's very highly regarded. And even if you disagree with his accolades or what he's done and his services he's provided to the nation, leave the family out of it, because it's no choice of theirs that they're either, you know, married to him, they're daughters of his. Leave the family out of it. He's dead.
Yeah.
Leave it alone and march on. There's got to be something else.
That guy has given enough. Yes. John McCain has given enough to America.
He should not have to give more through his family's grief.
Yeah.
I agree with that. He's given enough.
He gave enough to this country.
He gave more than enough.
More than he should have. More than most people ever give to it.
Yeah.
He gave enough to this country before he ever took a term as a senator. Or what was he, a congressman, senator?
Well, yeah.
Senator John McCain.
Yeah,
senator.
He was everything. He was damn near a president.
He gave enough to this country the second he stepped out of that POW camp.
Yes. Service alone, it speaks for itself. Leave it alone. You've got to move on. There's got to be other stuff that you could nitpick, bitch, and be funny about on Twitter. Leave the McCain family alone. It's really, really, it's...
How are you going to pick on a man that Fred Thompson said had his teeth busted out at the gum line by the butt of a rifle?
Yeah, I wouldn't even make jokes about that, because McCain, a far better man than I, and you line most men up in this country, McCain's going to win 9 times out of 10 of being a better, bigger American and patriot. So I don't even know why you'd want to do that. And McCain's not here.
I'm not sure what is the thing about. Is it? What is the feud?
It all started back when he was joking around about McCain, and back when he was talking about him being a POW, and back when
he just doesn't like him.
At first he said he did, then he doesn't. He's flip-flop with the whole thing.
I mean, that's basically what it is. He didn't even do anything to him.
And when he brings up McCain now, his daughter will lash back out, Megan, and the whole thing started with him and her. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just be done with it. There's bigger presidential business and fish to fry than picking on the McCain family. It's just stupid.
After John McCain passed away, again, everyone knows I don't know politics, but I did watch that special. It was just a special on John McCain that they had on. And I learned that as an American, he's probably about one of the most well-liked Americans that we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
So he's picking on picking on a Sandra Bullock, if you will. Everyone loved John McCain. Like, everyone loved Sandra Bullock.
Again,
you know?
Comparing Sandra Bullock to John McCain, I wouldn't even do that.
Well, just people that people love.
I don't even think Trump would do that. That's something only Joe would do. Federal prosecutors are seeking potential deals with some of the wealthy parents charged in the sweeping college admission scandal as investigators continue to broaden the case, according to multiple sources with knowledge of the situation. One source said some of the parents are being given a short window to consider a deal or potentially face additional charges. I don't have the specifics of the deals and what's going to include in that, but here's the thing. Lori Loughlin and her husband Massimo, they've become combative on this. They've lawyered up and they want to fight this, and they're ratcheting up on this. They're very, very pissed off that they got caught.
They feel as if they have ground to stand on to fight back.
Yeah, and we'll get to that with celebrities behaving badly. But yeah, that's where this is at.
Okay.
Do you remember that girl? They were out on a bridge in Washington. We talked about it last summer. And there's all these kids that are on this bridge, this trestle. They're on this guardrail. And this girl walks up unannounced and pushes her quote-unquote friend from the top of this bridge. And she topples into the water. She breaks her neck. She breaks her jaw. She's in traction.
Yeah, little brunette girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're out there at the river. Yep. Kids are swimming. But they're up like 60, 70 feet.
Oh, it's high, dude.
Way high. And this girl comes up and pushes her off the bridge.
The girl that got pushed didn't want to jump.
Did not want to jump, yeah. And the other girl came up and she pushed her off. Well, this is what's happened now. Smith, the woman who pushed the other, charged with one count of reckless endangerment after pushing Jordan Holgerson, 16, off the Moulton Falls Regional Park Bridge back in August 7th. She plummeted 60 feet before hitting the water. She broke 6 ribs, punctured a lung. She has since been said... I'm just reading through this here. Punctured a rib. She has since said she initially planned to jump off the bridge into the river, but changed her mind, so that's when the other girl did it for her. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's good.
What kind of a fine or what punishable is that by? I mean, is she getting a fine? Is she getting got to go to jail for that?
I mean, what fine would you give her? I just clicked off the story. I didn't go through all of it. I was going to move on.
I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking that girl got hurt. I forgot she broke six ribs and punctured a lung. I completely forgot all about that. I mean, I would think probably you got to have to do some community service for that one.
Yeah, she'll probably get some jail time. Plead guilty to a misdemeanor, reckless endangerment. It doesn't say what she faces charge-wise.
Yep.
The U.S. is experiencing a widespread worker shortage. It's official. The U.S. economy does not have enough workers right now in America. For nearly a year now, the number of jobs open each month has been higher than the number of people looking for work. As of January, the U.S. economy had 7.6 million unfilled jobs, but only 6.5 million people who are looking for work.
I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Yet, you can see the homeless problem here in California, and you're like, oh, man, these poor people, they can't find them. There's 1.5 million jobs out there. I mean, come on, some of those have to be in California. In fact, I would think the majority would have to be in this state right here.
I can't say that I've ever heard that said out loud, that we have more jobs than we have Americans to fill them.
It happens every now and again.
It
yeah.
does?
Well, because here's the thing. You got to go in and boil down what kind of jobs are these. Are these skilled jobs? Are these labor jobs? You know, all these different jobs.
I would
jobs.
Think to a jobless person, a job's a job.
Yeah, but you might not be able to get the job if you don't have the skill. You see what I'm saying?
Well, yeah. If you're going to advertise having jobs to fill and not enough Americans to fill them, but then not having the skill to do it, that sucks.
Yeah, Joe just thinks you can just show up, hey, I want one of those jobs.
Well, hey, I don't have a job. I need one. You've got one.
The Angels, yesterday morning, were nearing the agreement to lock down Mike Trout, which has happened with a long-term contract that would keep him in Anaheim through 2030. The deal is reportedly worth $430 million over 12 years, the biggest contract in sports history. It would net the perennial most valuable player candidate more money than ever, or I should say, than even Philadelphia fielder. I can't talk today. I apologize.
That's all right. Slow her down.
Philadelphia Phillies outfielder Bryce Harper. He signed in March for $330 million. So this is even more rich than that.
Well, if you paid attention to our Eli Manning story yesterday, what we found out is the sports in this country has more money than they know what to do with.
Here's the thing, though. Don't confuse this with Eli Manning. Eli Manning now, he set the record for career earnings.
Correct.
In the NFL. No one in history has made what Eli Manning has.
Which is bizarre.
Eli Manning, not worth it. Okay. Mike Trout, extremely worth it, and he's actually getting underpaid with this $430 million deal because he is the best in baseball, and you can't argue it.
Is that right?
And he's probably top seven.
Ever?
Top seven. I won't even put it top 10. He's got to be top 5 to 7 in the history of the game. The accolades, the things he's done, his bat is huge. He's a great, great baller.
Really?
Yeah. He signed up pro-wise down in Anaheim, I think, in 2013, and he's a miracle.
Mike Trout.
He's a Babe Ruth. He's a Ty Cobb. He's all those guys, except modern era.
Have we ever talked about him?
Yeah, I mean, his name comes up if he does something, like, you know, and he gets $430 million over 12 years. But, yeah, a lot of people are saying he's way undervalued, especially with the money that he got, you know, in the years prior this extension. But, yeah, he deserves the money. In fact, he deserves more. So, I mean, good for him. But that is a chunk.
Man.
That's good money.
That is significant now.
Yeah, we got to do these. Then we're going to come back. Dana will be done pumping up the jam. And we'll get into a Lickus and Win Wednesday. I'll tell you this. We've got Sammy Hagar tickets sold.
Time for another exciting edition of Lick Us and Win.
Lick it up.
All right, we got
Lickus
Sammy
and Win
Hagar.
Is brought to you by Future Ford in Roseville and Sacramento.
Damn it. Sammy Hagar tickets, April 20th. It's going to happen at Concord Pavilion. I'm doing all things Sammy, all things Van Halen, all things Montrose, HSAS, anything Sammy has done musically. I'll do stuff about rum. I'll do stuff about tequila. I'll even do stuff about Hawaii, where Sammy lives. I'll do stuff about Mexico. I'll do stuff about Mill Valley. I'll do stuff about the Bay Area, Fontana, Salinas. I'll do things that have anything to do with the color red. I'll do cars. All those categories you have for me with Sammy Hagar. Joe, he's going to do everything else.
That's right.
Anything and everything else. Potpourri for Joe.
You know what's cool about those categories for Sammy? He's made money probably off of each one of them somehow.
Oh, tons of money. Yeah, he absolutely
when
has.
When you say it like that, I'm like, whoa.
766-9370, Lickus and Win. What do you got, Pat? What do you have this morning, Pat? Welcome.
Hey, Pat.
Good morning. I have a question for Joe.
Okay.
All those categories I gave you, and you still went with Joe.
Because you're dead solid in those categories. They're going to be tough to get you.
Well, I probably did have a question for a dog that I could probably beat him on, but that's okay. I want to try Joe this morning.
Okay.
Wanted to know if you can tell me what is considered to be America's most vertical city.
Oh, what a great question. America's most vertical city.
And I'll give you a hint. It's in the western states.
And that would be, let me think about how to ask this question.
I know this.
You do?
Yeah, I believe I do.
I think I have an easy guess off the bat. I mean, I immediately want to guess San Francisco just because of the way it's built. And you think about that one street you drive up and down and everything's real hilly. And is that what it is? Is it by landscape? So the way what the city is built on?
Fair question. Are you talking about buildings, man-made, erected buildings, meaning skyscraper or natural?
It's built.
Oh, it is built. Okay, so then I will not guess what I would have helped you out with and said Denver, Colorado, because I thought she was going to talk about elevation.
Oh.
You know, mile high.
Now, see, I was going to guess San Francisco because I thought she was going to talk about the area it was built on. So you know how all the houses are built on them steep hills and you got to drive in steep areas to park your car and get in the garages.
I also still now, I think I know the answer to this, though, still.
I want to say New York, if it's
well, that's
that.
Did they move New York overnight? To the West Coast?
No, but I mean, when you think of most vertical city by build, that's got the tallest buildings.
But when you actually listen to words that people use that we commonly use in the English language, they have meaning, and that's why people use those words. And
she likes to do this to me, Pat.
and
he enjoys this.
She said Western.
They yeah, but you said I wanted to. I said I wanted
your
to.
Your ears never work, Joe.
don't jump in on his side, Dana. I knew I couldn't guess New York. I just wanted to.
Oh, you wanted to?
Yes.
Okay, so throw your guess out there.
Oh, man, it's going to be a tough one. I'm going to go ahead and say Vegas.
You're going Vegas?
Yeah.
And I want to throw this guess out here, and I know this is for Joe. Is it Seattle?
Nope.
Ah, this is a great question, though. Okay, what is it?
It is Jerome, and it is way, way, way up in the mountains. And unlike Virginia City, where, you know, Virginia City is kind of built on the side of a hill, they actually have steps between the streets that you climb up the steps, and they're all old rickety stone and concrete steps that are falling apart that you can get to the next level, and it's got a panoramic view of Sedona. It's absolutely stunning, and it's an old ghost town.
And it's called, what did you call it, Jerome?
Jerome. It's between Sedona, and it's like you go through Cottonwood. It's a beautiful town. It's an artist community.
And you give it the title of most vertical city.
It is considered the America's most vertical city, and it is a large ghost town. They actually have inhabitants, you know, ghosts. They have, like, they have the Ghostbusters cars up there. It's pretty incredible.
Can I get to this place?
Yeah, if you go, so what you do is you go from here to New York, and then after you get to New York, you drive down to Florida. And
I don't know any of the cities she's talking about around it, Cottonwood and all these.
It's all Arizona, Sedona.
It's Arizona.
Oh, okay.
I guess I'm not understanding the technical definition or the way you're using the word vertical.
The way it's built. It's the way it's built. It's built on such an incline on the side of Cleopatra Hill that some of the buildings in the past have slid down the hill.
Okay, well, that was just stupid. Then,
so the actual it's like San Francisco. It's built on them steep hillsides.
And by those definitions, I can't believe that Sedona would be more vertical than San Francisco or Seattle or even Portland.
I'd like to see it now.
Well, so the interesting thing. Sorry, Pat. The most interesting thing is I was Googling it because I was a little confused too. And when you Google most vertical cities, anything with a skyscraper comes up. So New York and like Seattle with the needle and stuff. Yeah. But you have to specifically Google Jerome. So if you didn't know this, you would never find it. Because Jerome, that's like their claim to fame.
So if you're a tourist,
that's what they're promoting.
That's their big ball of yarn.
Yeah, but if you Google most vertical city, it doesn't come up.
Okay, Pat.
Yeah. How do you spell Jerome?
No one cares.
J-R-O-M-E.
Okay, we got to do these quick. We got to go to Troy. Troy, back to the fun stuff. Troy, lick us and win. My God, we wasted too much time on that. Troy,
no
hi.
Way, that was neat.
Hi, guys. Hi. That's great.
Welcome, neighbor. Woo!
Hey, morning, Joe. Dog, I got a question for you, and it's a Sammy Hagar question. In August of 2003...
I love when we do dates. I love when you start a question out with a date. Okay, keep going.
All right. August 2003, Wheatland, California, Sammy Hagar played a show, and he was really upset that the opening act didn't show up. So he made a phone call, invited a band out, and he joined the band and played one heck of a show. Could you tell me the name of the band you called out?
Ooh.
2003, where would I have been at that time? My son would have been one. I would have been in transit, meaning, oh, man, yeah, I would have been out of radio. I did not attend that show.
Were you out at that point?
Probably still, or just arriving at the meth lab.
Well, we weren't at meth lab yet. Meth lab, I got here in 04.
Yeah, so I was
at the radio station.
I was what they call in radio on the beach.
Yeah.
I had left Portland and I was in California and was not in the biz at that time.
He was familying it up a little bit.
Yeah. So I did not attend that show. So that's my final answer. I wasn't there.
All right. That was Montrose. And they sounded fantastic. That was the one and only time I ever got to hear the band Montrose. And when you played Bad Motor Scooter,
Okay, so here's the thing now. Correction, so you know this.
Do you remember that what he's talking about?
Well, yeah, I do, and I forgot that they played a Wheatland show, but the reason I didn't go to the Wheatland show is because I went and saw them at the first and only show they had played in so many years since they broke up. The first one kicked off at Concord Pavilion, where he's playing this next show win tickets to, and that was my first time seeing him with Denny Carmassi and Bill the Electric and Ronnie and all that stuff, and you're right, it was a phenomenal show, but that's why I didn't go to the Wheatland show, because I saw the Concord Pavilion show. So, okay, I'll take that. Hey, fair enough.
You know what? Good question, dude. That fits well.
Hang on. Let's go to Brian. Brian, lick us and win.
Hey, Brian.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, this one's for Dog.
Okay.
Dog, in the original muscle car days, pre-72, there is a particular engine class, and it has to do, I'll give you this, it's a GM brand. And there is a couple of particular features about this engine that allow it to be the most powerful engine of its time, torque-wise. Mm. What are those qualities of the engine, and what brand?
What brand? That's where you're losing me, is with what brand?
Well, out of GM. Because back in those days...
You're asking between Buick, GM, Chevy, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Yes, are you speaking of... Hang on here.
The in-depth that you go, your mind must go.
Yeah, I'm staring at the wall right now, and I don't want to waste time. If it's not the RAT line or the 427, then I would have to go with the 454.
Well, actually, this is a little-known fact. The Buick 455... It's actually considered a Y block instead of a V type engine.
Oh, and is that what they called the what did they call those?
It has a higher nickel content to allow for the higher torque, 510 foot-pounds of torque, and that allowed it to be even more powerful than the LS6 Chevelle.
Yeah, that had the 454.
Yes. But this is a 455.
Yeah, yeah.
A different engine than the Chevy line.
Look at the little weird things people learn along the way. That is insanely cool.
I like that. And that's why Lucas and Wim was created, because with that knowledge that you have, you'd have no other place to use it.
Never.
And that would be a shame.
Yeah. Wow, that is really cool. Well, you could use that with your buddies around a bar drink. Any guy that likes cars would love that one.
Yeah. Good question. Hang on. We'll get you in. Let's go to one more here. Nick, Lucas and Wim, what do you got?
Hi, Dog. My question is for you.
Okay. Go ahead, Nick.
All right. In Mexico, the impact critter that made the dinosaurs go extinct, what's the name of that impact critter?
That's funny that he would ask Dog
that. Are you saying crater or critter?
Crator.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know.
Impact crater.
I'll be fair. I mean, you know, I was thinking more fun stuff like Mexico, but I know nothing about impact craters. Give it to me. Put the spotlight on you. What is it?
It's the Chicxulub impact crater, 65 million years ago.
Okay.
Good call. I had to look that up myself. I didn't even know the name of that one.
I have no idea. Okay, I guess I should have specified which Mexican history questions I wanted. But...
Hey, you should know that. That ended existence of dinosaurs, dude. That's a big one.
Yeah, all stuff that I just love. Let's go to Rob. Rob, lick us and win.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hands-free.
Yes, you are, neighbor. Woo!
All right, so Dog, I have a Sammy Hagar question.
Okay.
In a video where he says, I can't drive 55, what type of Ferrari was he driving and what was the color?
Oh, God, that was, that day he was driving he had the Magnum Ferrari. He had a black That was a black, what is that, the 318 GTS, I believe? Hold on. It's been so long. Is the color black?
You got that part right, yes.
Oh, you did remember that part, dude.
Oh, and it's a... Jesus.
You're off on the model.
I'm off on the model.
Yep.
Oh. He's even helping you out a little bit with this.
Yeah, it's black. It's not a 318 GTS. That's not what it was?
No.
What was Magnum's car?
If I tell you that, it'll tell you what his was.
Oh, that's what
yeah,
it was.
That's
it was,
what he's trying to do.
It's Magnum's car, but black.
Don't fall into it, bro.
Yeah, that's I gave it to you. That's what it is. It's Magnum's car, but black.
Yes, but you're a car guy. You should know what it
I
is.
I can't do it right now. What is it?
The 308.
Oh, God damn.
What did he say?
Yeah, it's a 308 GTS, right?
Yep.
And what I say, I said 318. Gosh damn it.
That's close.
Come on, give it to me. Give it to me.
That's close. I mean, you hit and miss all around it, man.
No. It's Magnum's car, but black. Why was I calling it 318? All right, hang on.
That's funny.
That's not funny. That's disgusting. That's despicable. We'll go to Joe. Joe, what do you got?
Hey, Joe.
I'm sorry, Nick, for Joe. Nick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
First time caller, long time listener.
Wow, yeah, Nick.
Yeah, dude, welcome.
All right, so my question's for Joe, I believe. Where did the term 420 originate?
Now, we've had a bunch of different things that have popped up from this. Uh-huh. So I'll give you all that I know.
And give us the big three.
I'm not quite sure anyone really knows exactly what it is.
Yeah. Depending on who updated the Wikipedia page last night.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll get updated again a month from now because today's 3/20.
Right.
So.
The one that is incorrect and people like to use this and it's disgusting to hear and I do not like it whatsoever is Hitler's birthday. That has absolutely nothing to do with why marijuana smokers say 420. It just happened to be his birthday.
I agree.
That was out of the blue.
Okay.
There was also a term that it was the old cop number.
Uh-huh.
You know, like 186. Is murder and whatever else is what that also is not
true. Yeah, we've got a 5150, which is someone that's psychotic. Yes.
There was also the fact that they thought the first marijuana arrest or bust happened at 4:20 in the afternoon. Also not true.
Okay, so what is do you think the true
4:20? I believe was a meeting time for kids to smoke weed after school.
So we'll meet up behind the backstop or behind the locker at 4:20.
After all the things that I've looked up and searched through and found, I've somewhat give the most
credibility to that one.
Now, it could be anything. I don't think anyone really knows, but I'm always curious to find out.
And with that one, I just got to ask this, though. Back in Indiana, did you guys have schools back there?
A few.
A few, okay.
A few.
Yeah, a fair question for me to ask. I mean, a lot of people listen. They're like, I wonder if Joe had school back there.
Well, you might think 4:20 a little bit later since we all get out of school at 3, but the schools were so far and few between. When you did find one, you went longer.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, man, even on a long day, if I had to go 8 periods in high school, I mean, I was getting out at like 3:10.
Yeah, most kids were.
And I can't really imagine high school kids waiting an entire hour and a half to smoke pot.
Well, they had to go home, get it, and sneak back.
Okay. Yeah. So what does he have? Nick, is he close on any of them? What was your
yeah, he's pretty close. So everything that I've heard, it started in San Rafael in Marin County, and the kids would meet up, like you said, at 4:20 after extracurricular activities, and then later on there was a group of 5 kids and they called them the Waldos because they would hang out at the wall, and one of the brothers got a kid a job with Grateful Dead, and
so Joe was right.
A flyer on 4:20 and said, "Come smoke with us at 4:20." And then from then on, they referenced it in their songs, and it caught on.
This is the exact story that I based my what I tell you. That's the exact thing. Yeah, dude, right on.
All right, Joe got that one right.
See, now doesn't that for people that sounds like the most legitimate, credible reason for that?
Yeah, because everyone's got their own definition of what 420 means. And just think, in one more month, oh, my God, you can have fun and smoke all kinds of pot. Let's go to Lisa. Lisa, good morning. Lick us and win.
Good morning. Hey, my question for Dog is, which Rick Springfield song did Sammy Hagar write?
I've done everything for you.
You're right.
Yeah. And, and Sammy still bitches about it. He's like, I can't believe it. The pretty boy Rick Springfield. He loved that song. That song came out years and years before, and he could never get it to do anything. Rick Springfield, he gets a hold of it, becomes like a number one hit smash.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's a Sammy original. Thank
That's
you.
That's funny. Good one.
Okay, since I did so poorly, I'm going to stop right there so it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. My God. More rounds coming up of Lick Us and Win. Plus, we're going to do celebrities behaving badly.
Good celebrities are great, but bad celebrities are even better. It's time for celebrities behaving badly on the Doug and Joe Show.
All right, we got more celebrities behaving badly, man. You can't run out of them, can you? No matter how hard you try, you ignore the news. They're finding us now.
I think it's the only way they know how to behave.
My God. Robert Kraft, you know, he owns the Patriots. He was down in Florida. He was hanging out at that Asian day spa. He got picked up in a little prostitution case. So now here's what's going on. He's been offered a plea deal in the rub and tug case. And what prosecutors are willing to do is drop the criminal charges if Kraft agrees to a battery of embarrassing punishments.
Like what?
Kraft's proposed penance includes completing a course about prostitution and 100 hours of community service. He would also have to submit to an STD test.
Oh, man.
So he's got to take a course about prostitution, 100 hours community service. That's where he's over there, you know, picking up trash. Yeah. He's got chains on his ankles. And then he's got to go in and take an STD test. Kraft would also have to state that if the case were to go to trial, he would be found guilty. But here's the thing. He's already pled not guilty, and there doesn't seem to be any upside in the offer from prosecutors, so it would be shocking if he accepted this deal, which he probably won't, but it's the same deal that the other men who were picked up in this scandal have been given.
Oh, okay, he didn't get anything special.
Yeah, so...
I was going to say, what do you do to someone who has that much money? You have to just kind of embarrass them.
Yeah, what are you going to get out of them, you know? Until you find out the county where this, in Florida, where this Asian spa was, you're going to see they're all going to have a brand new fleet of cars. With a donation from the Kraft Foundation. That's how other people can get away with this stuff.
Right.
It says here it's unclear if Kraft will accept the terms. You know he's not gonna. He's due back in court in 8 days. And here's the thing. This is the law side of it. We still don't know what Goodell and the NFL is going to do.
Will they do something?
They've got to, because what happens to the players does not exclude owners or anyone else that works with the NFL. It's the same across the board.
Yeah, so, they let players beat wives and shoot people and all kind of stuff.
Well, used to.
Hernandez, there's all kinds of people that have done that.
That's going back in the day, though. They've tried to clean the NFL up now, and they do have their own form of punishment, and they're still waiting to see what the NFL is going to do, and the NFL's waiting to see what, in fact, happens legally outside the football field, and then they're going to go from there, which is basically nothing.
Now, if Robert Kraft does decide to take the embarrassing embarrassing punishments, the melee of them, does that get him off with the NFL? After he's got to get his STD test,
question. And all the questions you ask are usually terrible. I'd say, yeah, if he's going to do that stuff, I think Roger Goodell and the NFL is going to go lenient on him. Now, if he skates on this, then the NFL is going to have to step up and really make it seem like they're cleaning up the game.
Smack him kind of hard, huh?
Yeah, so I think that's a fair question. If he does the STD testing and he's picking up roadside trash and he's taking prostitution courses.
I mean, that's funny to me.
Yeah.
Hey, because STD tests, they hurt.
Well, I've never had one.
They're painful. They hurt. Yeah. There's a cotton swab thing that must be put in a place that it shouldn't be put into, and it's very painful to get an STD test for a man.
Anyway. Wow, yeah, I've never had one, so good luck with that, Robert Kraft. All right, now we got to go to the Operation Varsity Blues scandal. This is pretty good. Lori Loughlin, from Full House, Fuller House, and her husband, Massimo Giannulli, have hired a high-powered team of attorneys. And what they're going to do is they're going to try to fight this thing. All these charges of conspiracy to commit mail fraud and honest services mail fraud and all the stuff, because you know, the alleged amount was $500,000 for both daughters to attend USC. Both daughters have since dropped out of USC. Both daughters have since said they'll probably never, ever go to a college anywhere in America, be it junior college, state college, or university. They're done.
The daughter said that.
Yeah, the daughters are done. The parents agree. Their kids are probably never going to see the light of day at any schoolyard ever again.
Probably because no colleges would take them.
Well, not only that, but the ridicule and all the bullying the girls are going to have to go through.
They're getting it bad right now.
So what they've done, what Mossimo and what Lori Loughlin have done, is they've hired this high-power group of attorneys, one of which is named Sean M. Berkowitz. Okay, this is why this is important, and this is why this is funny, and this is why it's in the segment of celebrities behaving badly. Berkowitz, and I know you don't know this, he's the former director from the Department of Justice Enron Task Force. Okay. He was involved with prosecuting Kenneth Lay, who was the company's CEO.
Enron's CEO?
Yeah, a lot of people don't remember all this stuff.
Okay.
And there was another guy named Jeffrey Skilling, convicted of fraud and conspiracy back in 2006, in addition to reportedly proclaiming that the wealthy execs shouldn't be permitted to buy their way out of this. This is the attorney they've hired. The same attorney that was saying, these rich and wealthy people should not be allowed to skate and buy their way out of this.
Wow, really?
So they've hired the same attorney to fight for the same thing that the other people at Enron did. No matter how rich and powerful you are, you must play by the rules, he said back in 2006. But now it's 2019, and he is going to support and fight for people who did the exact same thing he prosecuted for.
Well, it's been several years down the road. A lot of life's been lived. He's had time to change his opinion. And his viewpoint. I mean, completely change.
Yeah.
To believe 100% differently than he believed in 2006.
A lot of people were thinking that I said no matter how rich and powerful you are, you have to play by the rules. And I was saying, no, you don't have to play by the rules. That's what I said.
Did you get that don't in there? There was a don't in there? I mean, come on.
And it just couldn't get worse. These have to be two of the stupidest parents. These are some of the dumbest family members in the history of parenting. Lori Loughlin and this Mossimo guy.
Yeah, we just stuck with the lawyer. We haven't even dipped into these two people yet.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, though, is they're so stupid. They get caught. And now they hire the attorney that went out and said this back in 2006. They do no homework.
Well,
and
what are they defending?
What do you mean?
How in the world do they ever think that they have a chance of getting out of anything?
Well, I don't.
They're as guilty gets.
Yeah, and I don't know how they're going to form this case and what they're going to say the Loughlin, you know, Mossimo family did or didn't do and how much the daughters knew. I don't know what they're going to weave.
That's like standing there and knowing you're dead wrong.
Yeah.
And fighting and screaming at the top of your lungs for something that you know you're dead wrong about just because you don't want to be wrong.
And they talked about Lori Loughlin in court last week. She was there. She was defiant. She was disgusted. She showed the courtroom.
What do you mean defiant?
Through courtroom illustrations, she showed the courtroom that she did not want to be there. She was better than everyone else in the room, and she was sitting there as if she had been wrongly accused, and she was better than everyone else, and it was a waste of her time. She was sneering. She had her hair covering her face. She was sitting very evasively. She didn't want to be there. She was very aggressive and very confrontational throughout the entire proceedings, and this just goes to show you, this is what happens when you have too much entitlement and too much money and you're a crappy person. She still thinks she can get out of this, and she's going to hire this attorney. She's got too much money and not enough freaking brains. She should have just let it go and taken her lumps. She should be apologetic.
I'm sorry. I screwed up.
My daughter's expense, I wanted the best for them, and some of these things that have allowed me these riches and this lifestyle.
Right into them. Yep.
I'm sorry. And the judge would have given leniency. They would have felt bad for her if she came out and did the YouTube video and said, I want what everyone in America has. Can you really blame me for that? The one thing you guys don't have is some of the money I've been allowed, and I was wrong in abusing that privilege. That's all she had to say.
Done.
This thing would have been dried up years ago, but now she's going to act like she didn't do anything wrong, and they're going to hire the most expensive lawyers they can find.
I don't understand that.
Because they have too much money, more money than brains. So,
because
I can't wait.
There's no way they think what they did was right.
Well, here's the thing, though.
They can't honestly believe that they have the right to pay to get their child into college because they have more money than we
do. I'll bet you if you sit down and you take the cameras and the recorder devices out of the room and you're in the bedroom with Massimo and Lori Loughlin, I guarantee they're in there.
Saying
that, yes, yeah. Well, goddamn, I mean, people buy stuff all the time. I've worked hard for this money. Why can't we pay our way into college? Everyone else makes donations, and there's grants. Everyone else has bought their way into college.
They're justifying it through other people's wrongs.
They're justifying it because they want their daughters in there, and they have the money, and they truly, I believe they're better.
I didn't really feel one way or another about Lori Loughlin, but I got to be honest, I'm disgusted by it because everything I've ever seen her do in acting and little things, I've always thought her to be a sweet person.
Mm-hmm.
She's not.
No, she's totally not.
She's not a sweet person.
No, not at all. All right, we got one more, and this is good. Jeff Bezos, you know, he got caught, and all those text messages and photos came out. And now what they're saying, and they've asked Jeff Bezos, they're like, hey, how do you think that all these racy texts that you sent to your girlfriend were publicized? And he speculated one thing about this, that, and the other. And now what they're saying is it's much simpler. Michael Sanchez, the brother of Mr. Bezos' lover, sold the billionaire's secrets to the Inquirer for $200,000.
Oh, the brother?
The brother of the chick he was dating. You know, she's that chick down in Los Angeles that does the news and all that.
Yes.
She had her phone. Somehow the brother got the phone. Somehow he copied the messages. Somehow the Inquirer found out he had the messages. Somehow the Inquirer said, hey, stupid younger brother, how about we give you $200K and you cough them up? And he's like, okay.
Her own family.
Rolled over on her and sold her private life to the Inquirer.
God.
Ultimately ending up in the divorce with Bezos and all this other crap. But yeah, it was the brother of Lauren Sanchez that sold it to the Inquirer. And they now know the amount. It's $200,000.
I wonder if that money still buys you happiness thing is circling well with that family.
Woo! Yeah.
Bought him a lot of happiness right there, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That is crazy.
We got to come back and talk a little bit more about this. And I'll just ask it now, and then we'll get to Lickus and Win later.
What?
Would you roll over on a family member for a large cash payment? Would you air the family's dirty laundry for, say, $200,000? I'm going to talk about this because this is slimy. This is Jeff Bezos. You know, this isn't just some, like, local businessman right. That owns a car lot and a laundromat that's you know, well-to-do in the community. This is Jeff Bezos.
Not to mention the girl was a reporter beginning to make a name for herself as well.
Yeah, she's got a name for herself too, and she's got a big career at stake. Two high-powered people. You got the brother over here, this bottom-feeding barnacle, sucking up $200,000. And here's the thing. Here's what's so stupid about this. Had he called Jeff Bezos after he spoke to the Inquirer, when the Inquirer said, we'll give you $200,000, if he called Bezos, if this guy was smart, he would have said, they're offering $200,000.
You're going to teach people listening how to blackmail.
Well, or extort. You call extort, it what you want.
Yeah, forgot. I'm not sure how criminal empires and phrasings work.
Well, pay attention. You call Jeff Bezos. You say, hey, I'm not, you know, extorting or anything. I'm just saying, man, I got your dirty text messages from my sister. Inquirer said $200K. I'd be willing to bet you got more than that in your sock right now. What do you say you triple that or make it an even million and we'll make this whole thing go bye-bye? That's how stupid the brother is.
Oh, God. Or maybe you just shut up all the way around and realize he's probably going to end up dating your sister and you're going to get some residual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See,
guy just keep your mouth shut.
Guy didn't think about this. Actually marries the sister, you know, and he's going to be like the ring bearer or something. And after the wedding, the geese are eating him.
You know who my brother-in-law is? Bezos.
Yeah.
Blue origin for life. I mean, you can have anything you want.
Guy's an idiot. So, back to the question, though. Would you do that?
Man, that's a good one.
Would you roll over on your family and air the dirty laundry for an amount of money? I want to talk about this. 766-9370. We'll come back. Plus, we'll do Lickus.
9370.
All right, we're talking about this. We just did it with celebrities behaving badly. We found out how Bezos got in trouble for all the dirty texts that he sent to his girlfriend, Laura Sanchez. It was told, and we just talked about this, that Michael Sanchez, Lauren Sanchez's brother, was paid $200,000 to the National Enquirer so he would release the texts. $200K. So we asked you, would you air any of your family's dirty laundry for payment? And I want to talk about this because this is interesting. I can't believe this guy did this, that he sold this these text messages and photos off to a rag for money. And he didn't even get really that much money when you look at the severity and largeness of what he was dealing with the cheating scandal of Jeff Bezos.
Oh, dude, just dismantled a man's life and possibly could have gotten to the point where his sister would never even speak to him again. I mean, you really aired some business right there with that one.
Yeah, his name is Mark Sanchez, but we're going to call him Dirty. Dirty Sanchez is his new nickname.
How are you, Ryan?
766-9370. Oh. Would you, though, air your family's dirty laundry for a cash payment? Dan, did you put this up on Facebook?
I did. There's a bunch of comments.
Oh, and I want to know, and if you could, start off with just a couple of them as they come in, okay. And then we'll go around and talk
about... Let me refresh, sorry.
Okay. 766-9370. Would you do that, though? And I know families have dirtier laundry than this Bezos scandal.
Oh, sure.
Some have less laundry, but would you let up a family secret in this case, like if an inquirer or something came to you and said, hey, we'll pay you?
Knowing that letting the family secret out, I mean, is just going to do the kind of damage and create the... I mean, this was a big one. Maybe your secret's not going to do this.
And here's the thing, to be fair. His wife had already known about this affair, and they were already going to dissolve or divorce before these texts happened. They were everyone that knew the Bezos and knew the Sanchez's, everyone kind of knew something was going on before it hit the media.
Oh.
His wife had suspected, and there'd been some trouble.
And that was why she was like, done.
These texts didn't put the nail in the coffin. These are kind of the aftermath.
Now, with this situation, what's your favorite phrase? What is it? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes?
Yeah. I love when people say that.
Oh, yeah, geez. So it's kind of one of those situations to me, because Bezos was doing something stupid. So if something happens to him, it's on him, honestly.
I agree with that, Dana.
Because he shouldn't be cheating.
Yeah, okay, fair enough, though. Fair enough. And I don't want to go through and dissect that.
Yeah.
I just want to talk about the family member letting it out. I'm not disagreeing with you on that, with what Bezos did.
We're just saying, don't feel so bad for Bezos. But think about the problem at hand right
now. Yeah. I want you to think about, Danny, you've got a sister, you've got a brother. Let's say there was some scandal, like Bezos or something different, that you didn't want out or you didn't believe should be public. And they
rolled on me.
And they rolled on you because someone gave them a bunch of money, and it was going to be all over Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? How would that make you feel?
Oh, I'd feel awful.
Okay?
Absolutely. I'm the nice one, so why would anybody want to roll on me?
Yeah.
I'm the nice sibling.
And Dana doesn't speak ill of people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, are you saying that you wouldn't put it past your brother or sister to roll you out?
I don't think so. My sister and I have that sister bond.
Okay.
Like everything between us is between us. My brother, he's a turkey.
He's a turkey. Okay.
Yeah,
would your brother rat you out?
I don't think he would rat me out, honestly, because family's pretty important to all of us. But if anyone were to do it, I think it would be him.
So you're not trusting your brother if the inquirer showed up and said, hey, we got 200 large.
I'm going to be like, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. All right. 766-9370.
Does that mean Dana has some skeletons in the closet?
No.
Now, Dana, before you go through Facebook comments, would you? Like, let's say that your brother, your sister, your mom or dad, or anyone in your family was of prominence.
Mm-hmm.
And you had something really, really juicy, and let's say you're not having a good way of life, you've had a tough roll at things, you're not making good money.
Mm-hmm. Well, even just living the life the way she is now, which is enjoying it, loving it, but she's got two children and college debts and things that could easily be paid off with some
credit
money.
Card debt, yeah. Mm-hmm. $200K in your life would go a long way.
Yes, it would.
They show up and say, hey, I'll give you $200K, we want you to roll on your mom or your aunt or your sister.
Oh, no. I can't do it to my mama.
Wait, would you do it to your sister?
No.
Would you do it to an uncle or down the family chain?
Maybe down the family chain. The thing, you know, $200K is very inspiring, I will say.
This is a good amount to get a conversation going.
Boy, it really is.
And again, this is tax-free. Tax-free.
If I were to consider it, I would probably have a conversation with said individual, and I would cut them in on the money.
Oh, you'd scheme.
I would kind of scheme it out.
Okay, so hey, 100 goes to me, 100 goes to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to let this out of the bag. But what if they said, no, Dana?
Then I would respect their wishes. And they would know at that point that I purposely went against what they told me to do, and I that wouldn't sit with me.
That'd be even worse, wouldn't
That'd
it?
That'd be
if you
even
asked
worse.
Them and they told you no?
So you would go and ask, hey, what if we split this money up? Mm-hmm. I'm going to let this cat out of the bag. And
somebody approached me. I have $200K on the line. Do you want 100 of it?
Yeah.
And if they say yes...
You're doing it.
Handshake. Let's do it.
Okay, but if they say, no, I don't want that air, Dana, you would not do it.
I wouldn't.
Wow. 766-9370. Give us a couple comments off Facebook.
Man. All right. So we got from Tina. Yep. If you're doing wrong, then you should expect it.
Oh, okay, because he was cheating on his wife, Bezos, mm-hmm. in this case.
Okay, but does this make the brother any better?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Airing public laundry, does that make this guy what he did any better?
Lindsay Argo, she's kind of in the same camp as me. She says, depends on who it is in her family. If it's her sisters, no. If it's the screw-up uncle, absolutely.
Okay.
She's got him labeled.
Yeah.
Okay.
Danielle says, absolutely. And she put a gif of Shia LaBeouf pointing at people.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Let's see. Catherine says, maybe all the dirty laundry are just a little. And okay. I would say it'd have to be like one big secret is kind of the barometer here, right?
Yeah, you gotcha. Gotta let a big one out, I think.
766-9370. We'll go to the phones. Joe, would you do it? Would you roll on your family?
One last one. Jake says, buckle up.
Oh, yeah! There's going to be some turbulence.
Yeah, that doesn't even need to signify a yes or no.
I like that, yeah. Man. Buckle up.
Good one.
Joe, would you do it? Would you turn or roll on a family member and air dirty laundry for cash?
No way.
No one.
Nope, and I need it. I need it bad, and I would not do it.
You could pay off all your debt, okay? You hate your Sextera. You hate driving that car. It's almost, I mean, lost the hood and the fenders. I mean, it's about a week away from exploding on the freeway.
Rarely do things in life really make me angry, but I've got to fight the urges when I drive that damn thing nowadays. I hate that truck.
You could buy a new car. You could pay off all your debt and get damn close to paying off your house. $200K, let's say that, almost wipes away you with a clean slate. Just think, by tomorrow morning, you could go out with one of those damn golden ticket visas with like a $50,000 or $100,000 limit. You could start it all over again.
I know.
$200K would make your life instantly better, and you're still saying, no, you wouldn't.
I would not. You know me, dude. I'm deadly loyal. I am deadly loyal to the people I care about, and I would never flip on them. I would never turn. I would never snitch. I would never rat. I would never, ever in my life, ever.
No matter what it was.
No.
Now, what if this lie had something to do with hurting you? What if you were involved in this tale?
Ooh, now that's a juicy little side bit. I've been hurt by what happened to me?
Yes.
No.
Because, you got to think now, this does involve this guy's sister and him. This has to do with both of them now.
Yeah, that's getting into the family jewels,
and
if you will.
I'm thinking for this guy to do it for such a small amount, $200K, I know that's a lot of money, but in the scheme of things, when Bezos is involved, that's a peanut.
What do you think about what his sister could be marrying or spending life with? Yeah. Like, spit it out.
I think there had to be some sort of something in the past that rubbed this brother the wrong way for him to do this. It had to have.
You think that too?
I think bad blood does play a part in this. I think if you have a grudge against somebody, you know, you're probably going to be very monetarily motivated.
Yeah.
200 grand is not a lot of money for
not when Bezos is involved. It's not. It's a
not
peanut.
Not with these people.
No.
Yeah.
Man.
So I'm thinking that something was happening.
Somebody did something, huh?
Yeah.
But the brother doesn't have Bezos money, right?
No, but he could have.
Well, he feels like it now, I would hope, with that $200K.
And again, I don't know the financial situation of the Sanchez brother, but...
You just take him fishing, take him hunting, take him for a ride somewhere. Just do anything fun with him, and you've got Bezos as a friend, and then you can be like, hey, man, you know?
Hook it up, brother.
Yeah, I bet Bezos, though, I guarantee he's one of those guys that he's not like a friend payer. I guarantee he's one of those moguls.
Stingy.
Yeah, I bet he keeps his money pretty damn tight.
Even if you had to pay him back, maybe he'd just float you a loan to start a business or something.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if he has the good old dog money curio cabinet that he just sits and looks at every night.
Yeah, I bet he does.
He seems like the kind of guy that would.
You're avoiding the question. You're still not rolling?
I wouldn't.
I would not do it under any circumstance.
No, I really would not. I can't. It goes against everything that's in my morals.
You're a good person, Joe.
I would never do that to someone.
766-9370. Keith, good morning. Would you turn on your family for money?
Hey, Dog and Joe, man, what's up? Hey, I go with Joe. Never.
Never. Never, ever. Any circumstance, doesn't matter.
No. It doesn't.
Wow.
Because, you know, the bottom line, man, one day we're all going to answer for that. And, you know, you just don't do it.
One day we're all going to answer for that. Like where?
Well, in the end.
Well, you got to answer. You got to answer to somebody, man.
To who?
You got
to
pay the piper somehow.
Who's the piper?
However you believe the piper.
Where is this piper?
Well, to each their own.
It does not make any difference what faith you are.
You know, it's all good. Everybody, you know, we're all entitled to whatever.
Everyone says it, though.
Someday
you're going to have to answer to this. Who's going to ask the questions that you have to answer to?
In the end, something happens. You
people
don't just
do
go in the ground and that's the end of it.
Listen, when you die, man, you go somewhere. You got to answer to something.
You go in the dirt.
You know?
And the worms eat you.
But still, you do not turn on your blood, man. That's
okay, if you want to say that, that's fine. But when people start saying, oh, man, you're going to have to answer that question someday.
I don't believe in the answering thing, but I will say this would be really bad karma. And I think that would probably change my mind in the end. Ultimately, because I do believe in bad karma.
If you weren't working the deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, if you weren't working the deal.
I don't know. Even working the deal, you might get some bad karma coming your way.
See, so many times, Dana, I love you so much. You have so many sensibilities and so much logic, and then you throw those stupid Joe words out like karma.
No, karma is real.
It's not.
It does.
Yes, it is.
It's not real. Let's go to Jeff. Jeff, would you roll on your family for cash?
No way. I'm with Joe. No, not going to do it.
You're not doing it. Okay. And let's go to Tina. One more here. Tina, good morning. Would you roll on your family?
Never, ever, ever.
No matter the details, the juicy story, no matter the scandal, the what, you're not saying anything.
Nope. Even an enemy. Once it's out there, and I don't think I could. I just couldn't live with myself.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yep. Hey, I've made promises to people, especially being a drug abuser in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have made promises, and I've told you this many times. If I would have ever gone down for any drugs I've ever done or ever had on me or at any time, mm-hmm. I would never, ever roll over on the people that mm-hmm. sold them to me or gave them to me. It's just something that...
No, I wouldn't either, you know, and I'm basically one pinprick away from hitting my finger and becoming, you know, made in the mafia. I love the mafia, and I believe in all their rules, and I love the heritage.
You'll take it right down, huh?
I love that philosophy. You never rat. It's fantastic. But here's the thing.
I was going to wonder if we needed to ask you about this or not, if you were going to weigh in, because I think we kind of know the answer, don't we?
I don't know if we do or not. I love money.
Yes, you do.
And I love my family. And a lot of people always say blood's thicker than water. And again, that's like someday you'll have to answer. Really? Blood thicker than water? Okay.
I kind of think blood might be thicker than water.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's just consistency value.
Yeah, viscosity. Yeah, a little thicker.
Even though our body made up of water.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Solid point.
But I'll tell you this, money, depending on how high the stack is actually thicker than blood. And
I'd say with about four bills stacked on top. I don't like where you're going with this.
I'm
going
to tell you this. This is legit.
I don't think you needed to say that first.
I'm going to tell you this. There's a pecking order, and I don't need to go through the line of different relatives who I would roll on.
Would you, though?
No, yeah. Let's not air that. That's scary right there.
No, but
knowing
here's the
you're
thing.
On the list and where you live on that list.
The roll. I don't know. Do me and Dana make your rolloverable list?
Oh, I'm
you?
Absolutely
not.
Oh, no. The Inquirer could come to me right now. The Inquirer could come to me right now and say, I want dirty laundry on Joe. I'll give you $200,000. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to lie. I'm going to say, oh, you're here to give me $200,000 because you want details on that pedophilia scandal.
Oh, come on.
Yes. You're here because
Joe was
touching children.
Stupid, nasty things like that. You rotten person.
Yes. With Dana and Joe, I would fabricate lies.
You would make up. Oh, my goodness.
No,
I can't handle it.
It's terrible.
Here's
you probably
thing.
Have more dirt on me than anyone else besides my ex-wife.
I do not lie, and I like to be honest, and I'm extremely, extremely to the death loyal.
Dog does not lie, mm-hmm. ever.
But here's the thing. I'm going to pick and choose those family members.
If you're not loyal to that particular person, you're going to roll.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? They always say, you
really
know,
would.
F me once, F me. You know, mm-hmm. F me twice, F you.
Yeah.
It's F me once, F you. I've always lived that way in my life.
Yes, he has.
And so here's the thing. If it was stuff on my mom and they came to me, they could come to me with, say, $5 million, maybe $10 million. Mm-hmm. Let's say my mom's prominent. She's got some juice. She's got some skeletons.
They really want this info.
Yeah. They could put any number on it. They could show up in a Bugatti Veyron with a trunk full of unmarked bills and weapons.
That's his dream car and dream scenario.
Yeah.
I don't know where the weapons came from, recently added.
Yeah. I'm not going to roll on mom. Never, ever, ever would I roll on mom.
That. Yeah.
Now, if dad were still with
him. That was where I was thinking. What about papa?
Well, dad's earned his rollover.
Yeah, and he probably would have rolled over on me and probably has in the past. So, dad, I'm not going to say yes or no. Brother, I'm going to put it right back to the Sanchez-Bezos case. Brother, I'll be fair, probably. And there's been some beef and stuff with my brother. But
Could have been some fair burnings that would allow a rollover in that situation.
I'm not saying definitively, but I'm saying probably.
Okay.
Interesting.
Dad's a maybe, mom's a no way, brother's a probably. Okay. Now, if we're going to go down the family tree and go through the lineage, you know, it's going to go deeper.
You don't got to go cousins or whatever. We're going to talk like straight heritage.
I'll tell you right now, every cousin or uncle I know, if I had dirt on them and the inquirer was at my house, I'd sell them all out. Because I haven't talked to them in 20, 30 years. I'm going to roll over on all of them.
There's a small bit of truth in that, I think.
And I'll go now to the immediate family of what I live with now, with wife and son. Here's the thing. Wife, never, ever, ever, ever put her in the same category, if not higher than mom. Ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever.
Yeah.
Son, case-by-case basis, depending on what it was he did.
Oh!
And that would be because of the hard-line role I've played with him and him learning the lesson.
So you're going to teach him a lesson, and you win the $200K.
The father must always punish and teach a lesson. So it's very dependent on what he did. Meaning, if he was involved in a heinous crime, and I had details on it.
Something horrific.
And they were going to pay me for photos or proof, and he was going to bear the brunt of that punishment. I'm not going to say, oh, no, no, he's family. He's my first and only son. I'm not going to roll over. You know what? I'm gonna. Because he knew better. He's a product of how I raised him. And if he did something that I was concealing, I would roll on him if he committed a crime.
Wow.
Bezos didn't commit a crime. Now I know that.
Say your son is at the point where Bezos is and he cheated on his wife. Would you roll on him in this particular exact scenario?
In this particular exact case on my son?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely not.
Well, that's good to know. It's got to be a bad crime.
That's a keep it in the family thing.
Yeah, yeah. It really is dependent on what it is. But now, if this was my brother, like her brother, again, probably.
My sister, never.
Never, ever.
Never. She could. I don't care what she did.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I don't care what she did.
Wow.
She could commit. I don't care. I would protect her till the day I died.
If she commits a crime, you're going to protect her till the day she dies.
Yeah, Joe will be like, oh, yeah, she's here with me in Sacramento.
Yeah, because she would never do like.
What if she did?
Like, she just wouldn't.
What if she did?
Well, she did that. I can't protect anyone for that. That breaks every moral code in my bones. I mean, I can't protect someone for that. That's just awful.
Yeah.
You know, anything that would do with children or anything horrible like that. But any other crime, I don't care how severe, I would protect her till the day I died.
Wow.
She's probably my most important person in my life besides my boy.
Jump on Facebook. You can chime in there. We got to do this because we've got Sammy Hagar tickets. Show's going to happen Shoreline. Sorry, Concord Pavilion, April 20th.
Time for another exciting edition of Lick Us and Win.
Lick it up.
All right, let's do Lick Us and Win.
Lick Us and Win is brought to you by Future Ford in Roseville and Sacramento.
Now let's do Lick Us and Win. 766-9370. Call us up. If we don't know your question, we'll get you hooked up with the tickets to go see the show. Sammy Hagar, Jason Bonham, John Bonham's son on drums, Michael Anthony on bass. It's going to be a fantastic show. You'll get to go. If we don't know your question, anything at all you want to ask us dealing with, for me, Sammy Hagar, Van Halen, Montrose, anything to do with cars, anything to do with Mexico, Hawaii, rum, tequila, the color red, or Fontana, Salinas, or the Bay Area.
I love just to hear you go through the list of things that you'll accept questions on today.
Yeah, I'm doing that Sammy Hagar category. Joe's going to do everything else.
That's right.
So, potpourri. Give us some good ones.
Time for another exciting edition of Lick Us and Win.
Lick it up.
Lick Us and Win is brought to you by Future Ford in Roseville and Sacramento.
All right, Sammy Hagar tickets. That's what we have up for grabs. Show's going to happen April 20th, 6 days before my birthday. That's the key thing to remember. 6 days before my birthday.
That's going
to
be a killer show, dude.
Friday night, Concord Pavilion. You get to go if you can lick us and win. And I'm doing Sammy Hagar trivia, Montrose trivia, HSAS, Van Halen, all things musical with Sammy. I'll even do cars. Sammy's a big car guy. He can't drive 55. You want to talk about speed limits? I'll do that, too. I'm going to do all things Mexico, tequila, rum. All things Hawaii. I'm going to do all things that have anything to do with the color red. I will also do Fontana, Bay Area, and Salinas trivia.
Okay.
So those are my Sammy Hagar categories.
That's
anything for that. And then Joe's going to do everything else out there, potpourri.
That's right. Anything you can think of.
Oh, my God. And I'm looking at the call screen that Dana has so beautifully lined up, and there's only one question for Joe.
Uh-oh.
So
you're in trouble.
I got to do the heavy lifting. Here we go. 766-9370. Good morning, Alex. Lick us and win.
Hi, this is actually a question for you, dog.
Okay.
What is the name of Sammy Hagar's new tequila?
Of his new tequila?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he was back in doing a new tequila. I'm being truthful right now.
Not the Cabo Wabo tequila.
Wow.
I have not seen this.
Money, does he?
Yep, you can only get it at the Cabo Wabo Cantina or online when you go to Mexico.
Hi, I'm Sammy Hagar, and I'm just tired of not making money. I'm just going to make it every day of my life.
We interviewed him a while back, and he talked about he was going to get into making this extraordinary sea salt for the beaches of Hawaii.
It was one of the best little crazy little ventures I'd ever heard.
And this is the beauty about Sammy Hagar, and I'll come back to you, Alex. Here's the thing. He's not doing what that loaf, that stupid, moronic Gene Simmons does. Gene Simmons will put his KISS logo on a book of matches.
Yeah.
He'll put it on a lighter. I mean, he'll put it
on there, both those things.
Yeah, he'll put it on a cup. He'll put the logo on anything to make a nickel at the gas station. See, Sammy doesn't do that. That's not what he does. Sammy is a brand builder. He's an empire, and he's a guy that's... And here's the thing. Gene's no slouch when it comes to business.
Sure.
It's just Gene is a dirty, dirty, low-budget crack whore.
Gene's a KISS marketer. Sammy will build different things and is successful with almost each one.
No. Gene is not a KISS marketer. Gene is a KISS slut. He is a KISS prostitute. He is a KISS whore.
He doesn't come up with like beers and things. You know,
what Gene is? Gene is the madame of the KISS brothel.
That's what
Gene Simmons is. Sammy Hagar, no, he's upstanding. He's really an entrepreneur and he likes building brands. So there's a big difference.
And his work. I mean, the Cabo Wabo thing got big.
Oh, yeah. You know, he went down there back in the mid-80s, built up the Cabo Wabo, turns it into a tequila. I mean, it's just fascinating. Then he realized, Sammy, this is how smart Sammy is. He's like, oh, this Jimmy Buffett thing, man. He's selling all these Margaritaville mixers, and he's got his little thing in Vegas, and he's doing all these shows like I've been doing for a long time where people are partying. He's selling all his booze. He's like, you know what? I'm kind of done with this tequila thing. Let's move this into rum.
Yeah.
He knows what people are starting to drink, and he knows that all the young guys that he peddled tequila to all these years, their palate had changed, and he knew they'd grown up, and they needed something different they wanted to sip on, so boom, he stamps it on the rum.
Never knew that. I thought just by hanging out down there, he met a pirate.
Well, there's that, too.
And they got him into the rum field.
So, Sammy's pretty smart about it, but back to this, I feel like a dope, Alex. I do not know of this brand-new tequila Sammy has.
All right. So, you want me to give you the name?
Yeah, please do.
Santos.
Did you say Santos?
Yeah,
now, S-A-N-T-O-S.
Santos.
Now, wait a minute now.
Can only buy Cabo.
Okay, and it is his brand of tequila, Santos.
Sold straight off of the Cabo Wabo in Baja, California, where I picked it up myself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, good for you. I have not been back to Cabo since 1990 or 91. So it's been a long time.
Cool.
Yeah, let me see it real quick. You got the picture?
Yeah, I just pulled it up here.
Santos Tequila. Never heard of it. I did not know he was doing more tequila. So he's back in the tequila biz.
You can kind of see the bottle of it. There you go.
All right. Santo Mezquila, they're calling it. All right. Hang on. We'll get you in. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne, lick us and win.
Hey, this is for Dog.
Okay.
You're a big Mustang fan, I know.
Yeah.
When looking at the classic 68, 67 Mustang, the front grill.
Which Sammy had one.
Iconic.
Did he?
Yeah.
What's the iconic difference when looking at the grills between the 2 years?
See, I hate these questions because I don't have the photo up in front of me. Would it be okay if Joe pulled it up so I can remember? Or you want me to go off of memory?
Yeah, it's pretty noticeable.
Well, I'm trying to think. 6970 Mach 1 is one light, two light. You're saying the difference between 67 and 68?
Yes.
I will say, did one have, I don't think it was dual headlights. I think it was lower fog light and splitter. If it wasn't lower fog light and splitter, then it would be single double headlight.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It's in the grill.
It's in the grill.
Another hint, iconic emblem.
Okay, so the difference would be Ford logo to Mustang logo then. Would it be Mustang badge or Mustang horse in middle? And I love Joe. Joe pulled up the wrong year. Thank you for that, Joe.
You said 67, 68.
Yeah, but you pulled up 68 through 70. I cannot see the front of the grill on this, so give it to me. I'll say Mustang badge versus Mustang pony.
No, I didn't. The picture's at the top.
It's the pony.
Okay, give it to me.
Okay, one is corralled, has a big fence, the 67. 68 has a little light fence around it, like a rim.
I never got that in a million years. I'm not even real sure I understand that one.
Okay, hang on, yeah, I'll go back and look later. That was awful.
They're car guys. They get picky.
Darren, Lickerson, win.
Yeah, good morning. Hands-free, as always.
Yeah. All right, welcome, neighbor. Woo!
This one's for Joe, I guess. Do you know what the capital of California was before Sacramento?
Well, there was a couple of them.
Yeah.
One in Vallejo one time, and then one in San Jose.
Uh-huh.
San Jose is one I was thinking of.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, there were actually, I think, three or four different capitals before it became Sacramento.
Learned that after I got here, too. That was pretty cool trivia.
Thank you. Let's go to Gary. Gary Lickerson, when?
Hey, Doc. This is Gary from Elk Grove, hands-free free.
Hi, Gary from Elk Grove. Welcome.
I'd like to know, kind of those car guys, what can you tell 1968 Dodge Plymouth Chrysler? How can you tell it's a 1968
Hold on. You want to know the difference between what? A Dodge Plymouth and a Chrysler?
No. How can you tell if they are a 1968 just by looking at it, if they're the same?
Where am I looking at? The side, the front, or the rear?
The side of the car.
Mm-hmm. By look alone, people can see these now. It was 1 year difference.
It could be a Dart. It could be a Barracuda. There's one feature they all have. It could be a Charger. Please let me know.
Yes, Mopar, no car.
Mopar, baby, yeah.
Let me see here. Did they? Are you looking for the Imperial Crown? Is that what you're looking for? Did they have the logo that they put in the lower?
No logos, sir. No logos, Craig. No logos.
Okay, then let's see here. What is a differentiating? So, is this just a feature in the car, or is it a marker?
It's a marker.
So if it's not the Chrysler logo, I'm trying to think here. Did they all display the cubic inch, the displacement, in badging?
I'll give it. You want me to give it?
Just give it to me. Hurry.
Okay, Craig, it's a marker light, a circle marker light on the lower fender.
Okay, was it in the shape of the Chrysler logo?
No, it's a circle.
Just a circle. Okay, fair enough. All right, fair enough. Okay. Hang on here. Let's go to Mike. Mike, Lickerson Wynn. They're getting very technical as the day rolls on.
Man.
Lickerson Wynn, what do you got?
Morning, man. I got a question for either one of you guys about Hawaii.
Okay.
This is the Hawaii state fish, the name of it, and can you pronounce it?
Oh, God, yes, we can. The
the apahimahi.
Yeah, something like that.
Luau muau.
Pahi.
I
can't think of what it is right
the
now.
The Donho halibut. What is it? Hurry.
We've had it before, but I can't think of it.
It's the humahuma nukunuku apawa'a.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
I knew it was crazy long like that.
I knew better than diving into Hawaii. I think I'm going to take Hawaii off the thing because I think Sammy did sell his Hawaiian house. I think he sold the beach.
He's out of there now.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Yeah. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin, Lickerson, when?
Good morning, fellas. This question is primarily for Joe since he's doing potpourri, but Dog, please join in if you can.
Oh, challenge.
Yeah.
In 2002, what was the name of the movie that starred Eddie Murphy and your man, Bobby D?
Jesus Christ, there was a movie in 02 with Robert De Niro and Eddie Murphy. I have not seen. Fair question, though. Are you sure it wasn't Wesley Snipes?
I'm positive.
Okay, it's Eddie Murphy.
Seen the movie the other day for the first time.
I've never heard of this movie. I'm out. Joe, do you know what it is? I don't know what this movie is.
Hold on now. I'll think about it. Let me go back a little bit here. Would that have been...
It's a 16-year-old movie. I've never heard of it.
God.
You don't know it.
I'm trying to... Was it one of the vet movies where he was the vet? The Dr. Doolittle things?
De Niro wasn't in any of those.
Maybe he made a guest appearance or something.
No, he didn't.
I don't know. What is it?
It is Showtime.
What's that?
Never heard
of it. I didn't
know
until I saw it.
Yeah, is it terrible?
No, it's decent. It's not great, but it's got Bobby D, so it's decent.
Yeah. It's a movie with... I've never heard of that.
No, me neither.
Wow, cool, man.
Let's go to Dave. Dave, Lickerson Win, what do you got today?
Is this for Dave?
Yeah, yeah, you go ahead,
Dave. Yeah. Hey, how's it going? First time caller.
Oh,
all right.
Come on, give us a good one.
All right, well, I'll try. This is my best shot. So back in like the late 80s or so, Sammy Hagar owned a bike shop.
Yeah?
And what city was that bike shop in?
Sausalito. It wasn't the late 80s. It was,
man, you got it.
It was, I talked about this last time we gave away Sammy tickets.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I've been to the bike shop and I've, you know, bought the posters and the Red Rocker clothes and all that stuff. And the shop is called Sausalito Cyclery.
Because someone called up and asked what was the bike brand or whatever that you had. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Gary Fisher.
Gary Fisher helped him. He's a designer. He's one of the, you know, pioneers of mountain biking.
Yeah.
And I think the name of the bike was called the Red Rocker.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Cool. All right, man. Yeah. I actually been to that bike shop. Let's do Matt. Matt for Joe. Lick us and win.
Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, what's up, brother?
Not much. All right. So, this town in Montana, according to the Washington Post, was named the middle of nowhere of the United States.
Washington, Montana. Okay. Oh, God. I don't know one Montana town.
The only town I know is Missoula.
That's it. I don't know one. That's from where a river runs through it. Missoula, Montana.
And that's your final guess?
No, yeah, it's not even my guess. I don't know. Yeah.
All right. You ready for the answer?
Yeah.
The town that was named the middle of nowhere by the Washington Post, located 4.5 miles from any major metropolitan area of 75,000 people or more, is Glasgow, Montana.
Where did you get this? Like, how did this strike you to ask this? Were you reading something, or did you Google it?
I was reading something about it. It was featured in an AOPA article.
Okay, see, I like that. When people are, you know, perusing and browsing, and they're reading stuff, they're watching TV, they pick up these neat little tidbit items of trivia. That's what I like. You know, when people get online, and they're just trying to find ways to beat us, that I hate that. But the fact that you retain this info, that's cool.
So, you know what I find crazy about it is that there's a town that's got a Russian name in the middle of America.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of Moscows and
that's
Ontarios,
funny,
and they, you know, they use all kinds of that
that's
stuff.
That's cool.
Let's go to Rudy. Rudy, welcome. Final one. Lick us and win.
Okay, this is for the dog. When Sammy Hagar made one of his first appearances in Sacramento with Montrose, they played on a bill with the Guess Who at Cal Expo. It was a big show. Who was the MC? A very famous person.
I have no idea. I would have been like two.
That should be your wheelhouse of years.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way I'm going to know this. I wasn't here. I didn't attend. When you say famous... What?
It was 1973.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would have been one.
Okay.
A very famous person MC'd it. A famous Sacramento person?
No.
A famous what? Hollywood star? How are they famous?
The worldwide, everybody knew this person.
It's just giving me nothing. I just don't even want to hear. Hey, I know Bob Hope. Bob Hope was here. Bob Hope. What, he thought he was going to go over and do something for the troops, but he came here instead. Bob Hope.
No, okay. You want the answer?
Please.
Wolfman Jack.
Oh,
Wolfman Jack. All right.
Wow, good one, dude.
Everybody knows Wolfman Jack.
Everybody does know Wolfman Jack.
Or knew. Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair enough. Hang on. We're going to stop right there. Wow. I've taken a beating all freaking day today.
You got thugged on that one.
On categories that I specialize in love. So we're going to play Bob Seger. That's shameful.
Yeah, you're going to have to go and smack yourself.
Yeah, again.
Take a beating.
Here's Night Moves. There goes Kansas. Carry on, Wayward Son. Dog and Joe show. I'll let you guys pick. Dana, Joe, we've only done two rounds of Lickus and Win today. I thought we had done three, but Dana just said we've only done two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real crappy. I mean, usually we try to get four rounds in. That never happens, but we always do three rounds. So what you're saying is we've only done two today, and I was all ready to play. What the fact?
Oh.
But... I didn't know we'd only done two rounds of Lickus and Win. It is a Lickus and Win Wednesday. So do we do the What the Fact or do we do the Lickus and Win?
Mm. I love What the Fact. I love. But we have to do liquor somewhere.
We can save the what the fact for tomorrow.
We got to do the third round.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm the selfish mean one. I want to do what the fact.
oh, you do. No, you don't. Dana doesn't want to do what the fact. What Dana doesn't want to do is answer the phone.
That's exactly. Right.
Yeah,
she's very sly, that Dana of ours.
We do, though, from a producer's standpoint, I still have tickets to put people in the drawing for that need to be given away, so we do need to do it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was a dumb question. I'm sorry. Yeah, so, okay.
And they're big tickets, and people want them, so.
If we have time after Lick Us and Win, which we'll do right now, we could come back and do what the fact?
Don't make empty promises.
Or we'll do it tomorrow. Or we'll do it tomorrow. So, all right, let's make it official.
Time for another exciting edition of Lick Us and Win.
Lick it up.
Lick Us and Win is brought to you by Future Ford in Roseville and Sacramento.
All right, final round. We've got more Sammy Hagar tickets. Show's going to happen. Concord Pavilion, Michael Anthony on bass, Jason Bonham, son of the late John Bonham. He'll be on drums for this show. It's going to be a good show. April 20th, Concord Pavilion. If you want to go, all you got to do is Lick Us and Win. And my category, since we have Sammy Hagar tickets, I'm doing all things Sammy Hagar, all things Montrose, HSAS, Van Halen, okay? I'll do all things cars because Sammy's a car guy. You know, he can't drive 55. I'll do anything and everything that has to do with the color red. Okay.
The category is giant.
Yeah, I'll do tequila. I'll do rum. Okay, I'll do Mexico. No longer doing Hawaii. I'll do Salinas.
Because Sammy moved out of Hawaii.
I think, yeah. And I'll do Salinas, I'll do Fontana, and I'll do the Bay Area. Those are my Sammy Hagar categories, and it's big.
Gigantic. And I will do everything else.
Everything else.
I'm doing potpourri.
Final round, 766-9370. If you want to play Lick Us and Win, we'll do it right after AC/DC. Give us some good ones. It's the final round. Then we'll get to 93 minutes of nonsense.
Time for another exciting edition of Lick Us and Win.
Lick it up.
Lick Us and Win is brought to you by Future Ford in Roseville and Sacramento.
All right, for the love of Lucy, please give us some good questions today. I have just been, I mean, pounded today, and I specialize in all these categories that I'm doing today, and I've done terrible.
Well, I think they know that you know these categories pretty well, so they dug deep on you.
Yeah, so now they're just cheating. Just say it. They're cheating.
They're not cheating. They're real questions.
If you want to cheat to win, I mean, that's on you. But
are you going to do that to them?
That's the thing. If you want to cheat to go see Sammy Hagar, that's on you, but you know what you're doing? You're really tarnishing the reputation of a real upstanding community pillar and rock and roll DJ that's been here now for almost 15 years, and what it is humbling.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
My street cred is down the tubes
today.
It's
even harder for the partner to sit here and listen to it and see it go up in flames. It's just awful.
Yeah. Now you know how I feel each and every other Lick Us and Win Wednesday when you're on the podium.
That's got to be a terrible feeling for you.
Wow, Joe's only got one question again. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Why you got him down? Keep kicking him.
Oh, man, they've got me. They've got me hog-tied, and they're just whipping me.
Yeah. Beat that dog.
Make them good, please. I'm doing Sammy Hagar trivia, Van Halen, HSAS, Montrose. I'll do all things car, because Sammy Hagar can't drive 55. Anything to do with the color red, tequila, rum. I will do things about Mexico, since Cabo Wabo's down there. I will do Fontana, Bay Area, and Salinas trivia. What else am I forgetting?
What are you going to get rid of? There's one place you're not doing anymore.
Hawaii. Not doing Hawaii anymore.
You've said that almost word for word the entire morning, and that is impressive, dude.
And Joe is going to do everything else.
Yeah, I'm potpourri-ing it today.
All right, Lick Us and Win. You give us a question. If we don't know it, we'll get you hooked up. You'll get to see the show with Sammy Hagar, April 20th, Concord Pavilion, Michael Anthony on bass. You'll have Jason Bonham on the bongos. Let's go to, you know what? Let's do this one. Let's go to Tim. Tim, Lick Us and Win.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good dog for you. So Sammy Hagar actually got pulled over, and that inspired his song for I Can't Drive 55. Do you remember what state he was pulled over in?
Well, it would have had to have been here, I would think, because I remember. Okay, so hold on here. He got pulled over because the legislation would have been going on at the time, so he got pulled over in a different state than here, but because they were making a big to-do about driving 55, which was to, I believe, if I remember right, not to save lives, but I think it was to save fuel.
Really?
Ultimately.
They were going to 55 the freeways?
No, they did.
They did?
We had 55 like from 1983 till 89, 88?
Here in California?
Yeah. Throughout most of the state, it was 55, and So where did he get pulled over? You're talking about this was an actual incident that he got ticketed on, but it was out of the state of California.
Correct. He'd been flying, coming in from somewhere, and he just needed to get to his cabin, and he was driving fast to get there because he was tired. He got pulled over and sparked the song for him.
Okay, so he's going to his cabin, and hold on here. So it's not in the state of California?
Nope.
Okay. The only place that I knew he had a cabin, okay, and he may have had something in Tahoe throughout, you know, since Tahoe Wabo.
I guess he didn't have it in Tahoe, huh?
No, I don't think he had it in Tahoe. And I know that he had what's the big lake? There's a big lake down in L.A. where stars all live. They live around this lake, and they got all these chalets and stuff. It's down by L.A. I forget that lake, so that's California. I'm going to say it would have been somewhere near in and around New York, where he also had a vacation spot that I think would have jived with that time.
You got it, buddy.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
So is it New York?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Cool, dude.
Yeah, and that, see, here's the cool thing with that. This is when Sammy Hagar started making money, and this is when stuff really started to come together for Sammy, and this is when he's going on safaris, and he's running into celebrities, and this is all before Van Halen. This is like Sammy.
He's now starting into his own.
Yeah, this is like Sammy Hagar always made some good money, and he always toured and always hustled, but now he's getting some big-time fame with I Can't Drive 55, and he's starting to climb, and, you know, this whole time for him is, like, really exciting, and he's starting to, like, really print money.
Wow.
And do great things, and he had this vacation spot in New York because I believe his son, Aaron, who runs the Tahoe Wabo and also ran the deal that was in Roseville, he was going to some type of boarding school back there. And I think that's why he bought that vacation retreat on the East Coast.
Oh,
if
okay.
I have the timeline right. So
what's the lake you were talking about? Havasu?
No.
Isabella?
Nope.
Big Bear?
Is there...
Elsinore?
It's either Elsinore or Arrowhead.
There's an Arrowhead?
Yeah, it's Elsinore or Arrowhead. Some celebrities, what they do, and it's not far there in Los Angeles.
They got a lot of nice big lakes down there.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Sammy had a house there, and I think he sold that one, too. But, I mean, the dude's got property all over. So, okay, I'll take that. Thank you for making me sound like I know what I'm talking about today.
That's right. You needed that.
I did. Wow.
Feather in his cap.
I've got wind behind my sails.
Woo! Come on, Yankee Doodle.
Lick us and win.
All right. Am I up?
Yep, you're up.
Okay, guys. Questions for Dog. What is the name of Sammy Hagar's first solo live album? This is easy.
First solo live?
Yes, sir.
First,
I saw him on that concert. It was a great show, and it's a great live album.
Yeah, and here's the sick thing here. I have it here. It's in the office. It's in the stack. Yeah.
But you've gone through so much trivia today, and oddly enough, when you're put on the spot like that, questions you'd know the answer to, I don't know why you still have trouble recalling them.
On this solo live album, does he do Bad Motor Scooter?
Yes, he does.
Okay, so it's not 9 on a 10 scale. Oh, God, I can
I'll
see
give
it.
You one hit. It starts off with his greatest song, Red.
Yeah. And he is on the cover wearing red pants and a very short sleeve red T-shirt that says Sammy Hagar, like in lightning letters.
Yes,
I know. I've seen that album cover.
It's in there, and I can't remember what it's called.
It is called All Night Long.
All Night Long! Damn it! Damn it! Damn you! That's what it is. It's all I could not remember it.
So, and cool. I know I look stupid when I ask you guys this, but I Can't Drive 55 and something. He was a major singer before Van Halen.
Oh, well, yeah, well, he was in Montrose.
I just didn't know all that, I guess.
Yeah, he had all his, you know, Standing Hamptons and all his, you know, he had Trans Am and he had Plain Jane going back in the day. I mean, he'd been doing the solo thing for a long, long time after Montrose. They only did two records with Montrose.
And then the rest of the boys were fighting with Dave or something, and that's how Sammy got into Van Halen?
So then Dave wanted to go out and do a solo career because they were fighting, and then Sammy from 1973, all the way up until 85 was all by himself as a solo guy.
Oh.
And then in 1985, that's when he started talking to Eddie and all that. Then 1986, 5150 came out.
I did not know. I mean, I guess you probably along the way have told me that 100,000 times, but for whatever reason, I did not recall that. I thought his big stuff came right about the time he got in there with him.
Well,
with
his big stuff and some of his best stuff came with Van Halen, but he was fine all by himself, and he long said, he's like, why would I want to go into a band that big? Well, that's why I wanted to go into a band, because they were that big, but now I got to quarter up my money.
Now
he's got to give, 25% to himself, whereas before he was probably taking 65% and paying the other guys.
Because he was the main dude.
He was the main dude, and they were, they were in the band, but those guys were getting less money. He's like, why do I want to do this? I've just now made it, and I've hit it. Why do I want to join the biggest band in America? Well,
then he becomes next level.
Yeah.
Then you're the biggest singer in America.
And so that's what happened. So there you go. Hang on. Good question. Cool. All night long.
Very good question.
Let's go to Jason. Lick us and win.
Hey guys, question for you, dog. Old Diamond Dave,
Cubic Zirconia Dave.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Cubic Zirconia Dave, you're right. He just came out with a brand new line of health and beauty products.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Man.
Two things that Cubic Zirconia Dave.
What is the name of it, and what are they meant to do? What's the purpose?
Doesn't it have something to do with dogs?
I don't know. That's what he's asking.
Yeah, isn't it a dog line of health and beauty products?
No, it's for people.
It's for people. And they had this up on the River Facebook page about a year ago. I did see the blurb, and I can't remember what it is.
That is funny, though. He would be the kind of guy who would do some health and beauty products.
I can't remember. I did see the blurb, but I can't remember. I want to go quick because we're almost out of time. Give it to me.
It's called Ink the Original, and it's specifically designed for keeping your tattoos bright and vibrant.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that's what it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he's on to something with that.
Yeah.
That way you wouldn't have to go back and get it retattooed, retouched up again. You would never have to go through the pain twice.
Yeah. A lot of other people, I guess, didn't think of this before, but hell, why not use a Sharpie?
Get out of here.
Yeah. Hang on. We'll get you in. Not a savvy question, but I'll take it. Let's
that
go
was a
to,
good question, though.
To Paul. Yeah. Paul Lickerson-Witt, what do you got?
This question's for Dog.
Hit him with
it,
bro.
I'm a big Michael Anthony fan. I want to know, when's his birthday?
Oh, geez, you're going to get me on that. I love Mikey. I love Michael Anthony. He's a good guy. He's a cool cat. Also, at one time, one of the largest stockholders in Disney.
Michael Anthony.
Yeah, I don't think he still is, but he had just bought tons and tons of stock with his Van Halen money early on.
So he's just loaded right now if he sold those.
Back in the day, that's why you always saw him. He wore Mickey watches, always had a Mickey shirt on. He loved Disneyland, and they used to call him Mikey Mouse. You know, the guys would joke around and all that. But he was a big, big stockholder because he went out and he took all his Van Halen riches early on and just gobbled up all he could.
Oh, I bet you privately he's loaded.
I don't know how much he sold off or what he kept or what, but God, I don't know when Michael Anthony's birthday is.
You ready for the answer?
Yeah, if you're a big Michael Anthony fan, you're going to love this piece of trivia. Give me the answer.
June 20th, 1954.
There you go.
Gemini?
Oh, Jesus Christ, he's two-faced like Joe.
Welcome to the club, Mr.
Yuck.
Anthony. I guess he'd be welcoming me to the club because he's older.
So I want to share this with you, okay? And I'm not going to tell you who told me this. Actually, I will. I will tell you this, and I told this guy I would never tell it, but it's been so many years.
So you're going to go back on a promise.
Well, okay, I won't tell you who told me this. A fairly prominent NHRA funny car driver that I interviewed, he's a big car guy, and he became fast friends with Michael Anthony.
Okay.
He told me this, and hopefully I never run into Michael Anthony, and this doesn't ruin it for Michael Anthony, but Michael Anthony always has loved hot sauce, and he's had his own line of hot sauces. He had Tabasco bases, and he loves stuff hot.
Okay.
So whenever Michael Anthony would check into a hotel room, all these rock stars, they use aliases, okay? But Michael Anthony, because he loved hot peppers and hot things, he would check into hotel rooms as Hal, H-A-L, Apeno, A-P-E-N-O. So his first name was Hal, and his last name was Apeno. So, Jalapeno.
No way.
Yeah, and that was his booking check-in name that he used for years and years and years. He told that drag racer that, and the drag racer knew I love Van Halen, and he goes, check this out. He goes, dude, this is awesome. And I was like, that is awesome.
That is, who is it, Force?
No, it was not Force.
It wasn't?
No.
Oh, man.
It was a guy that...
Dude, just tell us.
No, I'm not going to tell
you. I was busting balls on you. I didn't mean that.
I don't want to give the guy up.
Do you think he cares?
I don't know. So much time has gone by, he's got to have...
Does Michael Anthony still use jalapeno? Because if he does, that's bitching.
I bet he does.
That is really cool.
And the crazy thing is, I gave up the most important part of the story. I gave away his alias, so I might as well tell you it was Ron Capps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
go.
So,
good, good.
There you go. I appreciate the call.
Yeah, great question, dude.
Right. Hang on, we'll get you in, and we are done. We got 93 minutes nonstop. Think of Skinner on Lincoln's Win Wednesday, 93 minutes nonstop, commercial free. We are done. We are simple men, and we're so simple, we're going to go hang out with simple animals.
Yeah, we are.
At the Front Street Animal Shelter, because back tomorrow, rough, rough, we're going to be working K9 to 5 tomorrow. Yeah. It is a Thursday, so.
And it's not raining. It held off for a little bit right now. We can go down there and play with them for a few minutes.
Yeah, it looks like the wind kicked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully the weather's good for us. We'll go down. We're going to film today. We'll meet another adorable adoptable. We'll showcase he or she up on Facebook. And like always, you can go down and adopt the showcased animal absolutely free. Spayed, neutered, vaccinated, all ready to go. They'll have the chip in it, ready for a new home. So always exciting on Wednesday because we never know who we're going to meet.
I know.
Down there at Front Street. So.
I love it. Love it, love it.
All right, we're done. Monica Loza next. More chances to send you off to Disneyland, and we'll have more tomorrow as well. So we'll talk to you then.
Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us. Enjoy your afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow. Play nice.